that if you don't get one disease under control, you may find legislative bodies taking whole classes of people based upon propensity of conduct to say, we're going to put you in a certain category. We're going to demand mandatory testing for you.
We will not be ever having to go back to pre-COVID levels. We're always going to have to be mindful that COVID exists. We're going to have to engage with booster shots. We're going to have to engage with advice from time to time when we see outbreaks. We're going to have to respond. So it's not going to go back to normal. We can't deny that we're going to have to live with COVID. But having those very high vaccination levels will allow us to have more minimal restrictions or more minimal public health measures in place as we navigate the future years with COVID.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Sunday, September 26, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. And as you just saw the opening right there, what have we been telling you the whole time? This is your new normal. I don't know how much more clear it needs to be. We're not going back to what we had before because this is where we're going. COVID's going to be here. Boosters are going to be a thing. Masks and lockdowns, quarantines based on threats they perceive. That is your current reality and your future. That's the new normal. And as we keep saying, they've been telling you this from the beginning. The new normal. That phrase came out right in the beginning of this, sort of like Build Back Better and all these totally coincidental things that just became mainstream. That's what they're telling you right there. And a great clip there shared by Really Graceful today from Joe Biden, saying something I found very relevant to where we are today. Now, we're going to talk about some specific topics today. One being about a couple actually early topics that relate to two things we discussed yesterday right out of the gate, and a follow-up on the myocarditis Division I golf player. It won't surprise you at all what the media is saying. Basically, I'll tell you, right, it's true. But the truth scares people, so we're not going to let you see it. That's not a joke. That's what they're arguing in a very, manipulatively political way. And we're also going to talk about, from that, an interesting conversation that was shared with me from somebody in my family around the anthrax topic. And it's something I believe is pronounced, now that I don't have it in front of me, actually, now that I say that, something that is squalene, I believe is how it's pronounced. We'll talk about this as we get into it today. And squalene being an adjuvant that's in the anthrax injection, or wasn't supposed to be, but was, and how that's hurt people, and how it relates to where we are today, and how it shows you the long-term effects that they said weren't going to be there that are happening today. And it's very, very, very relevant to what we're watching, at the very least, that even if you think they're telling you the truth, that they could be wrong. And so they shouldn't be forced. And there's a thousand other reasons why that is the case. But this topic rings true for a lot more reasons than just that. We're also going to touch on the illusion that continues to be the pandemic of the unvaccinated, I mean, from every possible angle. We're also going to then touch on natural immunity yet again, because as we're now hearing, guess what? Natural immunity is being used as a defense against these vaccine mandates. You don't say. It's exactly what we've been telling you is hopefully going to happen. And finally, we're seeing more people pick up on the things that we've been telling people to look at for quite a long time. Now, on that note, before I jump into the first topic here, I wanted to make a quick comment on something that someone shared. And look, I know I have a bit of a jaded perspective right now about people that are just finally talking about some things because it's now much, much, much more safe to talk about them today because they're quietly admitting part of them in the mainstream. So it's sort of okay to talk about. Nonetheless, as you know, and I hope you appreciate that it's from my body of work, the beginning of all this, that credit is not why I'm doing this, and neither is becoming famous or anything other than getting the truth out. But nonetheless, it's still frustrating, as many of you can see, to watch people out there who, in my opinion, were being careful about not saying it before it was acceptable to say, now jumping in and making these arguments as if they were their own. And we're seeing that they've been there from people like from the independent media for quite a long time. Regardless of how my intentions are, that's still frustrating, as I'm sure people can see. My point in saying this today is that I'm aware that that's not relevant and I'm no longer going to even bring it up. But the point being is that we need to still understand the secondary point therein, the choke points of information, which I'm sure you all know. The flow of information is controlled from the mainstream media, from the government, and then there are people that are allowed to drip these things out in certain ways. That point should never be forgotten. Nonetheless, it's a good thing, regardless of the irritation that may provide me, that it is being talked about nonetheless. I'm aware of that. I can see that. And I thought it was, you know, as always, the interest of transparency and objectivity at all costs, irritatingly objective. I wanted to say that right out of the gate, because it is good that it's being talked about. But I hope we all tend to remember that these things can then be strayed away, like take QAnon in these different ways from a point of a lot of objectivity, a lot of questioning the government, got driven directly into Russiagate and QAnon. That's how these things tend to go. So just remember how these things work. Now, on that note, let's jump right into these. Well, quickly, I wanted to shout out really Graceful for sharing this. I just think this is a very, very perfect clip for where we are right now and how these things have ties back to a lot of other things, including the very same people in power today. The other clip here from Evelyn Ray pointing out, according to health officials here in Australia, we're never going back to normal. And yes, we need to see that, and we need to understand that, and we need to listen to them when they tell us this. Now, this is somebody following up to this comment and listening to what she says. This is a member of the government saying, you are not going back to normal. And this person says, I bet we'll be back to normal within a year. Experts say, right, the ones I guess they choose to listen to, once 80% are fully vaccinated, we'll be the same amount of the threat as the seasonal flu and therefore go back to life and social. So it's this is the kind of thing we're talking about. These are the kind of people that are saying, trust the science. But then when the science and the government says the opposite, they go, well, that's not true either, because I know I've been listening to the experts. But that is the expert. That's what that it's. It makes my head explode. The point is, it's narrative, it's choice. And this is not, and these people believe that they're doing the right thing. That's important to understand as well. But if you're not listening to what they're telling you when they're going to do something like this, then that's a choice. It may go back to normal, but I wouldn't, that my opinion, that wouldn't be because that's the plan. The plan is what they're telling you. This is the new normal. So people like this who continue to comply and do everything, even if they don't want to, because they still somehow manage to believe that we will get back to some ostensible normal, even though that normal was never normal to begin with, it's a choice. It all comes down to choice. And then two last points. Slow News Day points something I thought was hilarious. He woke up to a strike today, or their team woke up to a strike today, a week suspension, and removed a content, a video older than a year, that of course was involving me. I just think that's hilarious. They're going to be streaming it to their main page and other places on YouTube, I guess. But it's just interesting to recognize they just randomly, this right there with Last American Vagabond, just jumped back to a year ago and said, oh, T-Lab, he's not allowed. I just think it's hilarious. And I just said, I'm not targeted or anything. The cowards over at YouTube just love my T-Lab pirate streams, which if you don't know what those are, check the hashtag. If you want to be involved, reach out to me. Put pirate T-Lab pirate streams in the subject line. Let me know you want to be involved, and you will be one of the channels we stream on to YouTube going forward. And hopefully anybody else who knows this is happening, go anywhere but YouTube. YouTube is a broken, disgusting, censoring platform. I'm doing my T-Lab pirate streams because they don't want me to, and I love doing things that YouTube doesn't want me to do. But I also want to make sure it gets in there for just a moment when they're not paying attention or they don't know which way I'm coming from. And somebody sees it, one more person, and then they censor it. Because don't get it wrong, they censor every single one of them when they find them. Every single one of them, despite them all being backed up by facts and they're later being vindicated by mainstream. It's just so funny how this works. But I said, this feels a bit like it's my ball, I'm going home type of situation, as they stomp their feet and say, you can't have T-Lab on your channel. We're going to find him everywhere. Petty action, because they can't do anything about the regular T-Lab fire streams, which, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, that's one of them right now. They don't want that because I'm not supposed to be allowed to do that. Hashtag boycott YouTube. I just love poking them in the eye. Now, one last point on censorship. This is shared by Grant Taylor. Self-made billionaire Grant Cardone interviewed Dr. Robert Malone about the vaccine. YouTube informed Cardone that he will be banned if he posts another similar video. His two children have never been vaccinated, have never gotten sick. The point being here is that this is a person who runs a huge company who is simply trying to find information for himself, reaching out to experts on all sides. And the moment he talks to somebody who has a different opinion than what he's allowed to talk about or share, he gets censored. Just like everything else, including the next story, which is the Division I athlete who has a doctor verified version of myocarditis because of the injection. And they even admit in the article that's the case, and they're still censoring him because you can't talk about that, even if it's real. That's what this little story is about. And I'll let you watch it for yourself. But I think it's interesting to see how many people are beginning to see what's going on. And they're desperate. That's why we talk about YouTube and Twitter. These places are breaking themselves to censor the truth. Because you can't write logical algorithms to censor it subjectively. So they're breaking themselves. That's why they have glitches and problems all over the place right now. Because they are breaking their model for an agenda. Which should show you everything you need to know about where we really are. But to start off with this point, a student athlete's TikTok video went viral after he developed myocarditis from the vaccine. Here's what experts want you to know. And it's just hilarious to me. So it's like, okay, so what are we talking about here? Okay, so here's a story that you're kind of supposed to quasi think is not real, or at least, you know, kind of walk away going, I'm not sure if that's the case. And all they want to do is let us tell you what we want you to think. And that's what you should walk away with. It's just hilarious. So there, this is narrative control. It says, and this is from this is right after this happened, September 22nd, public health officials agree that vaccination is key to ending the COVID-19 pandemic. However, despite the fact that 55% of the population of the United States is fully vaccinated, 64% having received at least one dose, which all of them are considered not fully vaccinated, right? That's the point. If they were to get sick and end up somewhere, there's only very few locations I've seen that actually count single doses. You're not vaccinated. So if you die, you get sick, hospitalized, that all goes on as a unvaccinated number. We'll get back to that later in the show. Anyway, many remain hesitant, with some pointing to potentially dangerous side effects of adverse reactions, as if that's wrong, right? Of course, the reality is that you have every right to say no to this, especially seeing as they've admitted this is possible. And it doesn't matter whether you have a higher risk of something from COVID or anything else. Taking something gives you a risk. You have a right to say no. By the way, whether or not there's a risk, you also still have a right to say no, but they don't care about that. Well, medical professionals stress that both are extremely rare. Of course, just understand, we're already starting about an article about whether or not this is supposed to be real. And all that you'll notice 95%, if not more, of this article is about screaming at you about why COVID is dangerous. None of that has to do with whether or not he actually got sick or actually got myocarditis and it was actually from the vaccine, which is what this is supposed to be about. Hilarious to me. While medical professionals stress that both are so super rare, people will experience them. And understandably, many of these people are eager to share their stories. So right out of the gate, we're to make sure we're clear about the fact that they're admitting that myocarditis can be caused by the injection. And they're censoring this kid anyway. Many experts who acknowledge that vaccines can have any potential side effects. That's a weird way to phrase that, isn't it? Many experts who acknowledge that vaccines can have any potential side effects. Of course, they all do anyway, stress that these rare reactions must be weighed against the realities of COVID-19 and that stories about them should not scare people away from receiving what they can be life-saving shots. You mean even if there are scary stories? Ah, got it. So if a scary story that's real scares them away from injections, well, that's not supposed to happen. We can't allow that real content about truthful experiences to scare people away from what we want them to take. Like, this is what they're saying. And that itself is crazy deceptive and dishonest. They're literally telling you, and it gets worse as we go forward. But also make sure you understand right out of the gate on this topic or this paragraph that what we're always doing here is comparing you could get myocarditis from COVID-19. Okay, that's a fair point. Except the fact that the person you're pointing to, this 20-something-year-old kid, has a 1 in a million chance of getting COVID-19. You're giving him the injection. So it's done. That's happened. There's not a chance he's going to get the injection. He got it. So then his chance of getting myocarditis is dramatically increased. So you see, it's not the same. You're comparing apples and oranges here, which is what they keep saying we're all doing. Well, they knowingly do that. It's hilarious. If you have a 1 in a million chance of getting COVID-19, that's factored in first before the risk that it could then cause. The injection's already given. His cause and his risk are already there. This is such an obvious illusion. John Stokes, a 21-year-old senior and athlete at Tennessee State University, is one such person who says he had an adverse reaction. Don't you love this? Who says he had an adverse reaction? Like, here's the kind of due diligence they do on their fact checks. How about you reach out to the doctor or ask the child or look at his documentation? Well, that'd be a quick way to say, well, a one such person who had an adverse reaction. No, you can't say that. We're going to keep it foggy and undefined in any sense about adverse reactions. I mean, it's just crazy to me that they keep doing this. You'll see it as they go through as well. They're actively undermining that he even went through this, despite the fact that the doctor confirmed it, that they admit that it's possible. And he's in exact categories for this. I mean, it just, it's, it, insults your intelligence. In a since-removed TikTok posted earlier this month, he explained that he was hospitalized with myocarditis, an inflammation of the heart and previously known potential reaction to the injection, shortly after received his second shot of the Pfizer vaccine. Stokes, who filmed the video from the hospital bed, was ultimately told that he was ineligible to continue to play at least half the fall portion of his senior golf season, and he was warned against elevating his heart rate. Like, that's an in general thing, you understand. Like, for once you have this, it's not something they risk. They provide you with what you maybe should be concerned about doing for the rest of your life. I've already talked to many people about this. Now, it's not for sure. You could, you know, it could eventually be something where, but that's why the risk is there. And we've already shown you the data that backs this up. A non-serious case of myocarditis is potentially can increase your mortality, the chance of dying, 25 to 56% in the next 3 to 10 years. That is a that's science done before COVID clown world around myocarditis. So the point being is that that is an ongoing forever thing with a non-serious case, or it can be. So the risk that when they tell you, well, you feel fine now, 2 days later, he's fine. That's then we'll forget about it. That's what the CDC is doing. Before TikTok removed the video, which they did, it had 4.5 million views as well as hundreds of likes. Stokes, who denies the video violated any TikTok community guidelines, which it didn't, by the way. You understand that they're again playing this foggy line. So if he is telling the truth, it did not violate the guidelines. They know that. He knows that. TikTok knows that. Well, we're not sure. He says it doesn't. We don't know because we're fact checkers. Good job, guys. Filed an appeal to have the video reinstated, which he did, which the social media platform allegedly denied. Again, can you not ask TikTok? Do you not have the resources or the wherewithal to be like, hey, TikTok, did you do that? The point is they don't even put, but TikTok failed to respond. They just say allegedly and leave it there because they don't want to know. They don't want it to be they want to continue to make you think this is a conspiracy theorist who's lying, and that's probably what's happening. This is infuriating. This is a kid who his whole life has changed because of the way they're doing this around the vaccine discussion. And they continue to do this, even though they admit he tells the truth. These people are horrible people. Many commenters applauded Stokes for telling the truth, some of whom made it clear that they had no interest in ever receiving the vaccine. Oh, no. Therefore, his truthful statements are bad. That's what they're saying. Stokes tells Yahoo Life that he received his second COVID-19 shot in August 31st, shortly after he says he developed common temporary flu-like side effects, which included body aches, which, by the way, recognize that when they go, no big deal, because he later got myocarditis. However, his chest pain, which he initially likened to gas-like feeling, soon got worse. Right? It's funny that they even include that because it's like right there. It's almost like they're trying to make it seem like, but he was just gas-like. It felt like he had gas. I told my parents something wasn't right, and we called the doctor. He told me to go to the ER. They diagnosed me with myocarditis, and they told me it was from the vaccine. I was hospitalized for several days. Now, there's documentation I showed you, which, by the way, take note that they don't show that documentation. They don't include the link to the doctor-signed document that says this is myocarditis caused by the injection. I wonder why they don't include that. I sure did on my last show. By the way, I forgot to, which I always try to do, include the show I did, so you guys can watch that. Get the facts about the vaccine. I love that. Here we go. Perfect, actually. It's right here on the image, which you can see for yourself. He has obviously whited out. Brave has been doing some weird stuff lately. Every other platform, these images come right up. Every other platform. But it's like I have to reload, duplicate it, reload it multiple times, and then finally the image comes up. It's so strange. Anyway, here is the image, and this is the doctor. This is from the doctor. Here's a vaccination card. The doctor signed it, said it was a result of the injection. You know, there's not much more you can do. It says, while in the hospital, Stokes says his heart initially hurt so much that he was unable to sleep. It is easy to see why Stokes' story would read as a warning against the vaccine. You realize that sentence itself suggests that that's inaccurate. It's easy to see why you might stupidly think it's a warning against the vaccine. Or that it should. That's what this is. That's not what Stokes did, by the way. He made it clear. I didn't say pro, for, against anything. I just said, this is what I'm dealing with. But that's absolutely what he's saying. This is possible. This is what happened to me. You should be aware of this. It says he is a young, seemingly healthy college athlete. Seemingly, but we didn't care to look into his health or what the doctor had to say or his records. But we think he might be healthy, but he might not be, though, right? Whose time on the golf course was seemingly shortened after receiving the inoculation. No, it wasn't seemingly shortened. It was 100% shortened by the fact that the doctor told him he can't go back to play this year. Seemingly, It could all be a big deception by the conservative conspiracy theorists, though. Stokes says he is now an advocate against mandates from the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA, and says he is unhappy that TikTok has seemingly censored his story. That's him. You see, that's Yahoo News inserting seemingly as if he said that. Says he is unhappy that TikTok seemingly censored his story despite it being the truth. He didn't say seemingly. He's saying they're censoring me. Watch his videos. And it's just, this is such bad journalism and such like aggressively slanted. Like we're trying to drive you in every possible way to think what we want you to think. This is what they do every single day. And that's what they don't like about it, because he is now advocating for the fact that you shouldn't be forced. And for them, that's anti-vax, even though that's not what that means. Yet, many medical professionals are concerned about how quickly his video circulated. Here's where it gets really obvious. It's honest. It's truthful. They've even quasi-admitted that the doctor said it was. It's very clear that they can happen, and they've admitted that's the case. Yet here they are going, but we're concerned about how quickly that honest, truthful video shared. Not because he was sharing misinformation, you understand, that's what they're saying, but because stories like this, truthful, not misinformation stories, especially those that come with a call to action, and his call to action was, we shouldn't be forcing this, to reconsider the vaccine, that's not what he did, can give people false sense of real risks. Talk about Orwellian, guys. He didn't say anything about whether or not you should take it. All he said was that you shouldn't be forced to do this if this is possible. These people are so, so hyped up on their own virtue and righteousness about what this all is, that these people, even when honest, will not allow, you can't do it. We can't allow it to share too quickly, because it's honest and truthful. And you guys are hiding everything like that. It says Dr. Eric Stecker, chair of the American College of Cardiology Science and Quality Council, tells Yahoo Life, quote, it is very natural and appropriate to wonder whether the risk of myocarditis is worth taking. Yeah, you mean the thing you guys aggressively denied up until you were grudgingly forced to admit it to a smaller degree than is actually happening? And now, yeah, it's natural to wonder whether that really serious heart problem is something you should consider. It says when the risk of critical illness or death is very low for people at 30. Got it. So now below zero, in fact, statistically speaking, one in a million. Well, no, not even statistically speaking, literally below zero. We're talking about point something percent here. That is ridiculous. One in a million for people under 19, according to Oxford calculator. Under 30, we're talking well, well below the flu risk. And you're being told that you shouldn't, we're not sure whether you should take, the myocarditis risk is obviously more. Especially when you have a one in a million chance of catching the thing that then might lead to something that's the same. It says the key is to recognize, here's the lie again, that the risk COVID-19 poses to adolescents and young adults is far from zero. Well, I would agree with that, but the other direction. It's far, far below zero. It's way down those point percentages here. One in a million, in fact. But they want you to think without saying that it's, you know, it's far from zero. And of course, I'm using zero in a percentage sense, right? Zero, one, two as a zero point something down below. Obviously, if you're talking zero as the absolute zero, then that's not the case. But the point is, they're telling you it's far from zero. Right. Point 0001. Way, way above. Right. That, but they don't say that though. They just leave you to wonder, because that's what happens when you listen to mainstream media. See, we give you the source material so you can research it for yourself. It says, in fact, because the Delta variant is so transmissible, you notice how they just stopped trying to pretend that it was more dangerous? Because it's not. And vaccination rates in younger age groups are low because they don't need it. They're not in danger. ICUs across the country are filling with younger patients that did it that than they did. You understand? See, ICUs are across the country are filling with younger patients than they did at any point in the pandemic. You see, now, if you were just simply saying ICU across the country filling with younger patients, well, that's one thing. They left a word out there, and I think that was probably intentional. Patients more than they did. The point being, guys, if they had one patient in the ICU during that time and now they've got two, well, then that sentence is correct. ICUs across the country are filling with younger patients more than they did at any point in the pandemic. Ah, okay. So you have more. So if they had 400 total deaths they're attributing to COVID-19 for children, even though they already proved that not a single one of those has been investigated. We've already shown you that many times. That's the Wall Street Journal, by the way. Despite the fact that just because it's the Wall Street Journal doesn't mean it should be trusted. Here it is right here anyway, just since I'm talking about it. As they've already tried to paywall it wasn't before. The point is, it says very clearly, they're talking about 335 total deaths. But the reality is, despite the 21,000 employees, the CDC has not researched each death to find out whether COVID actually caused it. That's crazy. And you can read this for yourself. They're telling you that they haven't looked into it. Now, on top of that, Newsweek already revealed that upwards of 40% or more of the death or of the hospitalizations themselves have been manipulated. Kids in there with a broken leg, they get a PCR test and they're told they're sick and all of the year. Now that's a COVID hospitalization, even though their leg gets better and they get released. Did they get COVID? Well, who cares? Right? This has already been shown many times over. So when they're talking like this, remember that all we're talking about is an increase in what they're telling you has happened, not, and see that's a lack of context. Then you have to wonder whether it's even happening at all. Are they actually filling with younger patients, or are they just aggressively testing younger patients with PCR tests once they're already in the hospital, which has already been admitted to be happening? But you see, none of this matters because debunked or whatever the argument is, because these are experts and they're stating this, that's the fact. It doesn't matter about the fact that unvaxxed versus vaxxed is a completely manipulated definition now, and I'll get into that in the next segment here, about how if you're under a certain position of days or after a certain period of months, you're no longer fully vaccinated, even though you've had both shots. This is a game of numbers and a game of statistics. It goes on to say people under 25 years old are 7 to 35 times more likely to get myocarditis from infection with COVID than they are from the vaccine. Okay, even if that's true, which I don't know why at any point we're taking just stated data from people without source material that have been lying to us the whole time. But let's just pretend that that's true. Okay, you're 25 years old. Let's just even take the meta-analysis of 113 infection fatality rate studies, even though that's an average of all of them, and it shouldn't be since it's highly, highly slanted to the older people. But that said, that you under 25, it was something like 0.008 or something well below the flu. Okay, so you've got a well below the flu risk of getting COVID-19 to then get myocarditis. So that has to be added on. So 7 to 35 times more likely if you already have COVID, but yeah, you probably include that really, really slim risk of getting it to begin with. Then you've got 25 years old and you got an injection. That's happened. It's done. Then you have depending on what level you are in different comorbidities, you have an obviously at least 3 to 4 times increased risk of getting myocarditis. So you have a 3 or 4 times risk, increased risk of getting it right there versus a 1 in a million chance of getting it, or excuse me, a under the flu risk if you're 25, and then an increased risk. This isn't difficult, guys. This is a manipulated, obviously intentional way to slant the data. Dr. Nathan Anderson, a fellow of the American College of Cardiology, says that while the exact reason for myocarditis post-vaccination has not been confirmed, did you hear that? This kind of myocarditis may be easier to recover from than myocarditis caused for reasons other than immune response. Quote, we don't know for certain why the mRNA vaccines may cause myocarditis. Isn't that great? So they're admitting to you, we don't even know what's happening, but we're going to tell you somehow we can manage to define, one, how long it will last, two, what your long-term risks are, three, what that will happen. I mean, I could go on. The reality that they can somehow define all of the factors around what will happen to you, even though we don't know what's causing it, is so stupid, it makes my teeth hurt. They're pretending, just like they pretend they know where Delta is, even though the CDC has admitted all they do is take samples and estimate what the countries do. This is ridiculous. How can you possibly know how long it will last if you don't even know what's causing it? What if the causal factor is still there? We don't know, but we'll guess and we'll pretend that it's less than what we don't know elsewhere. This is so stupid. It's ridiculous. It says, yet data points, no matter how thoroughly researched, do not have the appeal of a passionate video. So now we've gone from, yes, this can happen. He's truthfully telling you what's happened, but it just scares people, to then suddenly coming to a point to where you go, data points don't have the same appeal as your emotional video. So it's becoming an emotional video, not fact anymore, in the process of 4 paragraphs. So him emotionally saying things should be censored because data points aren't, I mean, you literally just said what he said was possible, truthful. What he said is not misinformation. It says, this is part of the reason why TikTok's team Halo was created. Get this. The social media campaign organized by the United Nations, oh, big surprise, and the Vaccine Confidence Project. Oh, really? Was established in order to build trust in COVID vaccines and cut through the noise surrounding them. You notice they didn't say fake news or misinformation. They said the noise. So now this team was created in order to build trust in COVID vaccines. So we'll censor truthful things about the injections because we need to build trust around these things, whether or not you should trust them. This is the reality of where we are. the United Nations and vaccine confidence programs, which I can promise you are funded by like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, these different groups that are clearly tied to all of this stuff, are very clearly influencing whether or not they're censoring your truthful content, including real discussions from real people that are absolutely experiencing vaccine side effects. It says Team Halo member Dr. Pawar, who made a video in response to Stokes' post about myocarditis, stresses that the risks from the vaccines are extremely rare, while the potential risks from COVID itself are much worse. Okay, so now you have a UN-funded vaccine confidence project censoring or telling TikTok to censor this person's video, then making a video about his content. Think about how crazy that is. This is just a kid in school, you understand. And they're coming out making a video going, I wish I could find this video. I tried. And coming out and saying what? That he's not telling the truth, or that what he's saying shouldn't be said, or at the very least coming out, allowing his truthful content to be censored and saying, but the risks of COVID are worse. Therefore, we're censoring his truthful video. So the risk of COVID may be worse. Even if that's true, you still have to catch it first, which for him is far less than anything else, including the shot that he already got. That's crazy. But they keep lying to you. And the Halo team is being funded by people that have ties to wanting the vaccines to succeed. Profit motive. Conflict of interest. Team Halo's Jess, a registered nurse who posts under the name Jess2019 on TikTok. So all these people involved in the team that are censoring other people literally are on TikTok. That's also a conflict of interest. Worries that fear will cloud facts. You see what I mean? So is his not a fact? Doesn't matter, though. The fear around his truthful statements are clouding the facts. What they want to be the facts. Even though his story is sincere, they say, direct quote, the message and the way it's put out can cause fear. There it is. What vaccine hesitant viewers are not realizing is the perspective. Ah, okay. So now we're at a point where the United Nations and vaccine confidence programs need to insert their perspective around your commentary. They get to decide. What's the context? What's the perspective? And if they don't feel you gave the proper balance, we're going to censor that content, even if what you're saying is true. Awesome. In this, is this a risk with mRNA vaccines? Yes. Is there a rare risk? Absolutely. I would love anybody anywhere would point out for me what anything he said in these videos in any way suggested anything other than this is possible. You should have a right to know. And you should have a right to refuse if you feel this is too much. That's it. He didn't pretend it was a risk larger than they're claiming. He didn't pretend that it was anything other than everything they just listed off. They just don't like this truth because it makes their narrative look bad. It says, quote, there are people who are COVID long haulers in their 30s. Oh, cool. So we're still making that ridiculous claim, despite the fact that there's no way we could possibly know that by now. We're talking years, guys. They keep truncating the argument of what long haul means. Oh, I had it 2 weeks ago and I'm still sick. That's long haul. No, that's not what that means. As well as the fact that literally every virus in history has been shown to have lasting effects, whether mental or physical. But the point is, they don't know that. They're pretending they know. Long haulers, it says, who are now on a ton of heart medication and or had valve replacements. So you realize the stupid... What they're telling you is right now, well, some of this is super rare. And there's also people that get myocarditis just because it naturally was going to happen. So we don't know for sure. Okay. You know what they're not doing here? Doing the same thing. Look at all these long haulers who are now on heart medication. Couldn't some of them be naturally occurring that you're associated with COVID-19? I guess we only do that one way, though. Hypocrites. We're not seeing those kinds of heart issues with the vaccine. We're not seeing it with COVID-19. Oh, but we're seeing it with COVID-19. What do you mean we're not seeing it with the issues with the vaccine? That kid literally just had it. And you guys just said he's not even lying, and yet you finish it by saying we're not seeing that? This is crazy. It makes my head hurt to have to read through this kind of nonsense. But people just get what they want. That's what's happening. Please watch this full show. It just blows my mind. Now, to bring this over into an interesting correlation around the anthrax vaccine, we need to realize that we're at a time right now where we don't fully understand this. With the long haul, all these ridiculous arguments, we'll know what that means in 2 years. We will understand fully. We're only beginning to see that right now. Every single one of these in history, you can find this kind of stuff. And yet we still pretend like what they say right out of the gate in a rush during an emergency is totally absolutely safe and effective. It's totally safe. Benefits outweigh the risks, and we know neither of them. Well, when they gave when they forced the anthrax vaccine, the injection. And by the way, if you're curious to look, please look this up on The Last American Vagabond to understand what Whitney's talked about, what I've talked about, the history of this, the lies, Emergent BioSolutions, Robert Cadleck, the whole damn thing. Oh, and by the way, on the main website under Whitney's specific web series here, you can find Engineering Contagion. And in fact, I'll just open this so you guys can look through these yourselves. Emergent BioSolutions, right? All these are on here. Engineering Contagion, Coronathrax, The Darkest Winter. I mean, all these are talked about. Head of the Hydra, The Rise of Robert Cadleck. It's important to understand this and what this means and what the anthrax vaccine really ties back to and ties forward. I mean, this is all part of the same discussion. And you'll see what I mean as we go forward with this. Now, this is from 2018, anthrax vaccine and the military. Well, this is from, by the way, a veterans law attorney's website, but you'll see this is backed up and discussed in a lot of other places, including mainstream. It says the United States military started administering the anthrax vaccine during the Gulf War to fight the risk of exposure to the rare anthrax disease, which can be weaponized. The anthrax vaccine, a mandatory immunization for service members until 2004, has been linked to dozens of adverse reactions and long-term side effects. Which, by the way, they argued was lies before this. Many military personnel and veterans are now dealing with disabling conditions and adverse events that may be connected to the anthrax vaccine. Short-term effects. These are things that they know right now, right? Many of us remember the distinct burn. Think about this, the whole thing here. Think about the connection and how similar this feels to what we're being told right now. Short-term effects of the anthrax vaccine. Many of us remember the distinct burning arm feeling of the vaccine. The other reported mild or moderate adverse reactions and health effects included before I even list them off. Remember, these are different things. So we're told anyway, God knows what we're being lied to back then. But as we understand it, if the history is correct and what we were told, anthrax injections here were different. These were the classic version, whereas today we're dealing with mRNA and other viral vectors, but all focused on the spike protein. Different here, just so that's clear. So I'm not trying to argue that in connection there, only that we're talking about experimentation or lies or incompetence, malfeasance. Really, it's your choice, but the data is in front of you. Short-term effects included. Reaction at the shot site, including itching, burning, tenderness, swelling, redness. These symptoms usually last more than a few hours. No more than a few hours after the shot is administered. Act like an allergic reaction. Temporary mobility limitations to the arm where the shot was given. Many soldiers who received anthrax vaccinations during the Gulf War complained of numbness and received reduced ability to move the arm where the vaccine was administered. Reactions caused the vaccine. Side effects typically did not last very long. Muscle aches. Side effects tend to linger for longer than many of the short-term effects. It's weird. Many people noted difficulty raising their arms by the parallel. Headaches were common. Fatigue was common. Physical aches, dizziness, respiratory problems, swelling of the lips, throat, rapid heartbeat. All of these sound crazy. I don't know why this is normal to anybody, but anthrax vaccines and Gulf War syndrome. It says, according to a recent article in Stars and Stripes, the Department of Veterans Affairs denies over 80% of benefits claims filed by military veterans for illness and conditions related to the Gulf War. So remember that as we go forward and see the reality of what this really is. 80% of people who are asking for help from the government because of what they're dealing with, illnesses and conditions related to the Gulf War, which they basically call Gulf War syndrome, in my opinion, everything that's being related to these injections, 80% of them get denied. But sure, they're going to take care of you today. The anthrax injection was deployed as a direct response to the weaponization of anthrax spores. Don't forget the way this all went down. The anthrax false flags, the manipulation, the lies, it's a part of 9/11, but it's also part of a larger lasting agenda that ties from before, during 9/11, and all the way to the day of the biosecurity state. It wasn't a coincidence that this was deployed because of something that they're arguing was going to happen. Think about how that's happening today. Causes of the anthrax vaccine side effects. Here, this is important. The FDA has confirmed that squalene, I believe that's pronounced correctly. You guys can correct me later if that's incorrect. It's right here. Squalene. Is an oil-based adjuvant that hyperactivates the immune system. So something that they believe would improve the efficacy. Think lipid nanoparticles and all these things we already talked about that have been shown to be dangerous, but they also help this thing work the way they want it to. Was used in some of the batches of the anthrax vaccine given to military members in the 1990s. Squalene is very dangerous to use as an adjuvant because it can cause the body's immune system to self-destruct. Now, the question I want you to ask yourselves is whether or not this was an accident, a test, a choice, or an experiment. Now, long-term side effects. Recognize what the connection to what we're dealing with today. Long-term side effects for military veterans who receive the anthrax vaccine with the squalene adjuvant may include autoimmune arthritis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, infertility, allergic neuritis, nerve inflammation can lead to paralysis, and remember, this is the kind of stuff they were saying, like my arms, I couldn't lift my arms. And all they told them was, it's okay, it'll go away. You're crazy, it's mental or whatever. Same stuff we're getting today. This is eye muscle inflammation, congenital disabilities in children, neurological damage, slurred speech, impaired motor skills, cognitive impairment. These are long-term, meaning they don't just happen for one day. Loss of balance, lack of coordination. These kind of things are something that the infertility, neurological damage, these are very serious long-term things. And yet, they were told up and down that they were crazy or wrong or conspiracy theorists when they were talking about it then. But they were right. And here it is. Now, of course, there's a different argument that's being had around this too, because it wasn't that, by the way, that it's very clear this is what happened in regard to the squalene and the fact that this was a choice, in my opinion, based on the data. But nonetheless, there's still this kind of weird argument that, well, it could have been, you know, batches that went bad or problems or tainted batches with something that was an accident. It's not an accident. And you'll see what I mean when we go through this, to see that every single one of the people who got these injections in regard to certain the way that the scientists and the research have gone around this, people who got these injections have antibodies to squalene, whether they were deployed or not. Multiple factors. One of these doctors said it was conclusive. It was because they were in the injections. So how could it be tainted? Here is The Guardian back on 2001. Illegal vaccine link to Gulf War syndrome. The illness known as Gulf War syndrome looks likely to have been caused by an illegal vaccine booster given by the Ministry of Defense to protect soldiers against biological weapons, according to results of a new series of tests. Now, yes, this is the Ministry of Defense in the UK, but you'll see the overlap. This is both the UK and the US did this together. Scientists in the United States found that symptoms of the illness were the same for service personnel who received the injections, whether or not they served in the Gulf. You realize this stuff has been shown. This is from 2001. Just so we're clear, nobody's held accountable for this stuff, even though we know this stuff. Now, so Gulf War syndrome is still what we pretend it's called, but yet we're pointing to people who weren't even going there, weren't deployed there, were in fact in different locations of the world, but yet given the same injection and got the same problem. But it's only because Gulf War, and we'll just ignore those very clear issues with our narrative. That's what's happening here. The common factor for the 275,000 British and U.S. veterans, 275,000, who were ill, appears to be a substance called squalene, allegedly used in injections to add to their potency. Such an action would have been illegal. Oh, but we know the government wouldn't break the law, though. Squalene is not licensed for use on either side of the Atlantic because potential side effects. Pam Asa and her team at the Tulane Medical School in Louisiana tested more than 300 former U.S. military personnel who were given vaccinations to go to the Gulf. 95% of them tested positive for squalene antibodies. In addition, veterans from both sides of the Atlantic were tested, including 20 who were given preparatory injections, but who did not go to the war. You see, so they didn't go to the Gulf, but they got it just in case. Same injection. All 20 tested positive to squalene antibodies. The fact that they have antibodies for this suggests, by the way, that this is something that's not just a, you know, aluminum adjuvant. Like, this thing is a cytotoxic. I mean, that's my opinion. It's an assumption based on, but how does it, I mean, usually only viruses cause antibodies, right? In the context of what we're talking about. But that's just me commenting on this. It's interesting nonetheless. So are they testing on people? Was this a test? The first non-deployed British sufferer to be tested was also found to have antibodies, not deployed. Dr. Asa said in her view, the fact that even non-deployed veterans were testing positive for squalene provided conclusive evidence that vaccinations were a major cause of the condition. It ruled out the alternative environmental theories floated by as causes of this. This is what the governments were saying. Ruled them out. Conclusive evidence in 2001. Quote, I believe that those people who were given vaccinations in the U.S. and the U.K. were given something they should not have been. Probably in the anthrax vaccine. The results need a thorough examination by the U.S. and U.K. governments. And I'll show you the part where they pretend that happened and don't care and went forward. The evidence could be devastating for the Ministry of Defense if this was an honest world, which is being sued for damages by 1,900 British veterans. So even their own veterans are going, we know you did this and you hurt us and we're suing you for it. Sort of like they're sued for 9/11 and no one ever, they're not being given anything. If they are, it's quietly and for another cause and trying to placate them, right? This is why the first responders during 9/11 said, Biden, we don't want you to come to our memorial because we know, you know, this, but they hide all this. This is to 2001, remember. You realize that nothing happened. Quote, there are no words to describe what they have done. It's just medically, morally, and ethically wrong. She says she feels cheated by the MOD. Quote, I was always one of these people who said that there is no way they could experiment with our vaccinations. Except she thinks differently now. But you'd think, right? The Guardian, 2001, this is bombshell. Nothing heavy. They don't care. This is about the illusion of accountability. Here, from govinfo.gov, is an old piece of documentation from a lawsuit. It says Gulf War illnesses, questions about the presence of squalene antibodies in veterans can be resolved. A letter report around this. It says, pursuant to the congressional request, the Government Accountability Office, talk about an oxymoron, investigated the reports that the blood samples of some ill Gulf War era veterans, this is 1999, by the way, as you can see right there. So all this time later, or excuse me, this is in this is regard. Oh, excuse me, wait a minute. Make sure. Oh, yes. Okay. So still that is accurate. So the timing of this would be the other way around. Nonetheless, it's still valid that the Guardian report 2001, this is still after the Gulf War discussion. But so here they are. So just in your mind, remember that this is being stated before that Guardian article. It's saying Government of Accountability Office investigates the reports that the blood samples of some ill Gulf War era veterans contained antibodies for squalene, a component of, I don't want to do that. When you highlight it, it's weird. It makes it jump out. I don't want to show it. I'll show you afterward. A component of adjuvant formulations used in some experimental vaccines, but not in any licensed vaccines. Okay. So they're admitting in this government document here of this letter report about what they're discussing. And you can see this is Veterans Research Reports down here, medical research, disease detection. Oh, there you can see it right there. What they're saying is that they know that they do have squalene in experimental injections, but not legally in licensed ones. Very important. This is focusing on whether, number one, the Department of Defense or the NIH, the National Institute of Health, performed or sponsored research using squalene. So they're trying to get an answer to this. Department of Defense considered using adjuvant formulations in vaccine administration to Gulf War veterans. And number three, any research has detected the presence of squalene in ill Gulf War era veterans. By the way, we know that now that it did. Here's what they said. The GAO noted that number one, prior to and following the Gulf War, the Department of Defense and the NIH used adjuvant formulations of squalene to perform research on the development of more effective vaccines. Very interesting. Number two, Department of Defense officials stated they considered, but decided not to use vaccines with experimental adjuvants during the Gulf War. So why this is so important to me? We know as a matter of fact that this was given. People have it. And you'll see this goes long past 2001, where we see that they have antibodies. This doctor, these scientists, they're saying this is conclusive proof that whether they were deployed or not, multiple locations, the US, the UK. So you can't call it a tainted batch if we're talking about different state countries, different locations, right? This is clear. This was not a tainted batch. This was not some hypothetical. They have antibodies for it. Okay. So we know that's the case. They researched and they are admitting in this document that they did the good. We thought about testing squalene and experimental adjuvants on people in the Gulf War, but they claim they decided against it. clearly they didn't. Or clearly they said publicly they did and then did it anyway. These are my thoughts on it, but either way, it definitely happened. So at some level, somebody made this happen or made an accident, if you want to be ridiculous about it, and they tripped and spilled it into everyone's injections, or hey, whatever stupid story you want to make it seem like they're not culpable. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, it seems very clear this is an experiment that was conducted on people in the military, and guess what? It's happening right now. And gee, I wonder what the long-term effects will be 20 years from now as we look back and go, oh, now we know. According to independent researchers, number three, as part of their treatment of sick Gulf War era veterans, they developed and administered a test referred to as an assay that detected antibodies to squalene in the blood of sick Gulf War era veterans. Right. So we're going to pretend that they didn't do this, yet they somehow decided to make a test they would use to find out whether or not they had antibodies to something they claim they didn't use. Sure lines up to me. Number four, the researchers stated that this assay is similar to the standard assay used in other types of research. Right, so it's just the same thing. As of March 1999, the research has been subjected to peer review, but of course has not been published. I wonder why. This process is often lengthy, sometimes taking a year or more, except when it's the Drosten paper about the PCR test, and it happens in less than 24 hours, and they still don't publish it still to this day. But it says, according to the DOD officials, DOD could develop such an assay inexpensively and tested on sample of sick war veterans. However, the DOD plans to wait until the research is published before doing so. Whether to conduct testing and, given the researchers' assessments, DOD's comments about the feasibility of developing an assay and that veterans have been waiting for the past 7 years for answers. The nature of their origin, their illness, DOD has the opportunity to expand the research already performed. So they just never find, the point is that didn't happen. People don't know. 2001, even The Guardian is linking the illegal vaccine, not a tainted batch, but an illegal vaccine to what's happening. No accountability. Here is something going all the way to the 2020, just a lawyer's website that's simply talking about squalene because there's people that are struggling, just like with 9/11. They're going, well, who am I going to go to? The government's saying I don't have a problem. They're saying I'm lying. I need to sue somebody. It's been alleged that thousands of people who are suffering from serious effects by squalene and anthrax vaccines. If you feel you qualify, here's somewhere you could reach out. Here are just people commenting. Posted on January 2020. On May of 2000, they received an anthrax vaccine from a specific lot. They're having multiple issues with health-wise. All the way to this day. This person was forced to take 5 anthrax shots in 2003. 4 of 5 that they took were of the contaminated lots. You see, this has already been shown to be ridiculous because if you have people in multiple locations, different countries, the point is that this is not contamination. This is using an adjuvant that's not allowed. But they've developed a host of problems and were medically discharged from the military due to that illness. So that changed that person's life forever. There's a lot of these you can see. 90% of the report symptoms of defects caused by the vaccine. My husband's a combat military veteran. He received 8. This is a booster. This is the same thing. It's based on a booster. Here is something from 2019. Oh, dang it. I hate that I keep doing that. Anyway, I don't think I had a lot highlighted on this. Maybe I did. Son of a gun. But I just ruined my highlighting by doing that. I went like, anyway. It says, soldier's lawsuit dismissed after claim she was forced to take the anthrax vaccines that made her sick. So you see this now, this narrative now has become fake news. Right. All the way here in 2019, here's somebody going, I'm feeling sick from the anthrax vaccine. They go, oh, you fake anti-vaxxer, as if this topic never got resolved, never got talked about. They got shoved back down. Here we are today. You're a crazy anti-vaxxer. Take it again. It was dismissed on Thursday. This is, 2019, after she alleged she was forced to take them because they are 3 times despite experiencing flu-like symptoms and vomiting after the first 2 shots. 35-year-old chemical specialist claims after the 3rd vaccination, she was protesting. She had seizures for days. U.S. government filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit, arguing, quote, a long line of binding precedents that, guess what, basically established you're not allowed to sue the government if you're in the military. This is ridiculous. The U.S. District Court for the Western District of Washington ultimately agreed, of course, that the government's reasoning and dismissed the case. That's the reality. The point is, this is a booster scenario right here. Anthrax vaccine requires 3 vaccinations followed by annual boosters because this is what they've always been trying to build. And here we are doing it again. Isn't this crazy how we can see this stuff happen through history and we see that these people are struggling? We can see that they mention that they were thinking about experimenting, but we decided not to. Clearly not. Clearly not. But recognize how this brings us into today. As we just watched them supersede experts telling you this is dangerous, both the open hearing part of it and the actual panel voting it down, and the CDC director says, oh, it was my call anyway. It was my call to make. Defends her decision to overrule her expert committee. He says members said there wasn't enough data suggesting that those who live in institutional settings that increase their risk of exposure, such as prisons and homeless shelters, and as well as healthcare workers, teachers, and grocery store employees, are at heightened risk. But Dr. Rochelle Walensky disagreed and broke with the committee. Right. This person that's been so subjectively caught lying many times, who doesn't seem very bright to me at all, but that's a subjective opinion, but nonetheless is continuing to tell you what the narrative is based on things I've proven to you are absolutely not true. So we listen to a panel of experts. We listen to an open hearing of people that come in and say that this is also very dangerous. And she just goes, I disagree. So why'd you even do it in the first place? She said she listened to their concerns before making her decision, clearly, or not at all. Quote, I did not overrule an advisory committee, she says. This was a scientific close call. Yeah, real close when you had the majority. It was something like 16-2. Yeah, real close call. And she just says she didn't overrule an advisory committee, even though that's literally what she just did. Quote, in that situation, it was my call to make. If I had been in the room, I would have voted yes. So maybe you should have been in the room then, instead of just ignoring what they say and doing what you wanted to do anyway. Pretty ridiculous. But that being said, let's jump over into the illusion that is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. But don't miss the overlap here, guys, to how we're pushing boosters on 18s and up based on a variety of factors. That's what this ultimately amounts to. 65 and older, except high-risk people, and that means anyone they want it to mean. You can be a high-risk person if you're in a high-risk situation. If they claim there's lots of cases, even though cases don't clearly don't amount to deaths, we're going to say that area is super high-risk, therefore you're high-risk, therefore you should get a booster. We've already seen this being argued. This is an illusion. Now 18 and up can get a booster. That's what that ultimately comes down to, even though the experts said that's not what we should be doing. Oh, great. Looks like my feed's cutting out. Shocking. Shocking. But the boosters will continue, and they're going to rationalize it however they want. And one of their rationalizations is the illusion that is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now, I already briefly touched on a couple of these points, but I want us to consider a lot of these illusions, these that we're using statistics to lie to you. Now, we're looking at this is an Inside Business Insider, 70% of fully vaccinated prisoners caught COVID-19 in a Texas Delta outbreak, says the CDC, but vaccines protected against severe disease, which is something we keep hearing, which I can't even fathom how can you possibly argue other than simply going, well, they said it would in the beginning, therefore, what they just experienced is less than it would have been, which is what they're doing. How do you, what test do you take to finalize the metric about, oh, well, clearly see the data, it would have been this bad had this not happened. That's not what's happening. They're not testing people looking at their internal body situation and going, well, here's where the vaccine's working and here's where it's lessening the symptom. That's not what's happening. They're already decided lessen symptoms. Therefore, when you get in a breakthrough case, they simply go, well, it would have been worse. Man, I was in the hospital and I almost died. Thank God I got the injection because it would have been worse. And that's what we keep hearing. It's ridiculous. Also, protected against severe disease is not even what they really did. As we keep pointing out, and even Forbes and plenty of other mainstream have already admitted, all they ultimately did was try to find out whether it would lessen mild to moderate symptoms. Now, you could make an argument that lessening symptoms would therefore lessen severe disease, but this is an abstract argument. It really is, because they're not measuring these things. And on top of that, as we've already shown, a lot of different, I mean, you get into the argument where you're simply assuming again, and then you're assuming that that's even what actually happened. Because I don't think that's what's happening. I think we're staring at a reality of them that think what I've been saying from the beginning. Like the Rogaine analogy I keep using. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And they go, whatever you're dealing with, it would have been worse. And it's easy to take that if you want to believe in what you're being told. Now, in this article, they then go on to say, of the unvaccinated prisoners, 93% caught COVID-19. And one of them died. Now, what's even interesting, even within their surface narrative here, is that only one died. So 93% of the unvaccinated one died, 70% fully vaccinated caught it, and they just leave out the rest of the data. So does anybody die? Did somebody get hospitalized? It doesn't matter. If they did, I'd argue they would leave it out intentionally. But the point is, nonetheless, that it doesn't seem that much of a contrast, right? This is what I keep trying to show you. That these people, even with their narrative, it shows you this is kind of like the consequential difference is not that much. And they even ultimately admit that. But then here's the point as we get into what this segment is about. They're saying unvaccinated, right? Well, what defines unvaccinated today? This is the important part to remember. Right this moment, if you are less than 14 days after your second dose, you're still considered unvaccinated by pretty much most of the locations that are taking this data down. And I've already proven this, and I'll go over some of the stats again. I've only found, I think, one or two locations anywhere, and I've looked for places that are like taking data as partial vaccinated. It's sort of the same way as you can look across the states and find that every single one of them are measuring breakthrough cases differently. Some of them aren't measuring them at all. How do you possibly rationalize that? How do you make sense of that other than to keep the data from being known and whatever the CDC states as fact is what's taken at face value? It's ridiculous. So the point is here that we're talking about a very clear ability to skew this in an obvious way. So now you have people that have clearly gotten one, possibly two of these injections, then get hospitalized, then die, then deal with anything that gets labeled as unvaccinated. Then we have a period after your two doses. Now you could, this is a debatable, I'm going to show you the thing I keep citing and I'll explain it yet again because I don't know what people seem to be confused about this. But let's just take even what Israel's saying that the U.S. has already gone along with. After 6 months, you need a booster shot. They've already literally just shifted down their numbers to represent who's no longer fully vaccinated if you don't have a third or a fourth booster. So right there, even at the accepted number that they're all telling you, you have 14 days before the two shots, then you've got anything after 6 months following that. Now you've got a huge portion of this country that had got these injections over 6 months ago. Well, you could debatable. You have a portion of them that got the injections longer than 6 months ago. So those people, even at the longest metric right now, are no longer fully vaccinated. But we'll go through the data, which shows you that they're arguing, or at least in their internal documentation, they're marking it down as 3 months. And Israel's already backed this up too. They've admitted that after 3 months, you can already see the waning. That's why they're talking about 3 months, boosters between 3 and 6 months. Israel said that, the government. But if what we're seeing here is the unvaccinated prisoners, 93, well, we have to remember that that means people that have one dose, two doses in less than 14 days or after a certain period. So this is a very small category of people that seem to be called fully vaccinated. So this is a guaranteed way to make sure that there continues to be the illusion of an unvaccinated problem. On top of the fact that you got people that do get injected, then have side effects from the very injection that get labeled COVID-19 and go down as unvaccinated. Self-fulfilling prophecy. There's a lot of other factors around this, like the PCR test, for example, that in and of itself could be not even the case. So you can be unvaccinated, literally unvaccinated, never had a shot, and still be told you have COVID, and that could also not be the case. And that works for the other side too. But this is why this is so stupidly subjective. And this has been called out in studies from main publications more than once. And here we are still doing the same thing because it leads in the interest of their agenda. Now, here is Get Toshi pointing out something that we keep telling you. Between 1 and 14 days, one injection, not vaccinated. Day 15 to 90, one injection, not vaccinated. Two injections equal fully vaccinated. I'm not sure what the 90. Anyway, the point is, same point I made. One shot, not fully vaccinated in general, and all the way until 14 days after the second one. So you're talking a month period, right? You get one shot on the beginning of the month. You have to wait 2 weeks if it's Pfizer, or I forget which one. One is two, one's three, I think. Anyway, either way, it basically amounts to a month. And then you're considered fully vaccinated. So there's a month period after you've injected this substance into your body for a second time then as well, that you can die, get hospitalized, have side effects, which they've already admitted can happen, and you still go down as an unvaccinated problem. Now, the point is, it says, now do you see how they're claiming that those being hospitalized and dying are unvaccinated? Time delayed. Now, by the way, I want to make a quick point here, and it's not this person's fault because, as they told me, they grabbed this from somewhere else online. Do you know where this image is coming from? I'm sure you do. from my show. Yeah, that's literally, I mean, exactly my highlighted, even between the break of additionally on the breaking between the comma, which I did. I remember doing that. So what's funny is this is circulating as proof, even though it's just an image, which is ridiculous, guys. That's not proof of anything. And I'm not saying that for the person who posted this, because this person is doing so and making their argument. But nonetheless, I mean, hopefully they would have seen it in my show, which I do argue down here. But now the point here is that we need to, if it's just an image, it's not proof of anything. An image could be manipulated, faked, and anybody who doesn't believe it will say that. Oh, I can't prove that could be fake. Now, down, I say this, hey, please include the link to the show. But here's somebody also following up, and you know, here's the next tweet, where they simply say, do you have a link to where that is, that line about 3 months supposedly appeared? It smells like bull patties. It's not, though. It's right here, and I'll show you again. But what's great, what frustrates me, this person follows me, right? And yet they don't have the link. They don't know where it's from. Why is this not, why are we having this problem? I think what it is we're not working together enough in the independent media. A lot of people that I work a lot with, I think are of the same mindset with me. A lot of them, and you know who they are, people we constantly go back and forth, all the people that you see on the different shows that are trying to reach out and work with different people. But there's a lot of people out there that aren't. And I think at the end of the day, this kind of narrative would be very clear, and we'd be on all on the same page if we were doing this together. But it says the screen cap from CDC definition, of course, the CDC's page now says there's currently no post-vaccination time limit on full vaccination status. Well, of course they say that now, after this has been very clearly put out in local and national government documentation, which I only was able to get this one archive. But it's important. I mean, even High Impact Flicks falls up and says, I've not been able to substantiate this. Right? I've been talking about this for 6 months, guys, or not, maybe 3 months. So it frustrates me. Like, why can't we all get on the same page? Now, to show you this yet again, it's from the St. Louis County government. Yes, it's no longer there, but it was also on multiple locations that I've previously talked about. This is the only one I have an archive for, but this is their definition posted on the government website. Now, this wouldn't happen if this was not approved at some government level. And it says fully vaccinated person for the podcast. Their definition means a person who had 14 days prior received two doses. Basically the same point, 14 days prior, received one dose, that you have to have it after 14 days. And it says after 3 months of the last dose. And here you can see this is why it looked the way it did. Additionally, after 3 months from the last dose, a person is no longer considered to be fully vaccinated person. Now, please tell whoever, High Impact Flicks, anybody else, here it is, the link's in the show notes, right? This is a valid point. Now, yes, did they delete it? Yes. Did they constantly scrub it from the internet? Yes. Did they post something different, and could that now be what they're actually doing? Sure. I don't believe that. I believe that's what they're stating on there, just like they change every definition they're constantly trying to change to make it seem what they want it to seem, for herd immunity, vaccine itself, on and on. But this is important to understand, guys, because it correlates with what they're currently floating as a general concept in Israel, 3 to 6 months right now, new booster. And this brings us to the next point. But please know this is here. Share the link. Yeah, give me credit if you'd like to be transparent, but I know a lot of people won't. But again, that's not what this is about. Here is Israel, or specifically coming from Israel, that I have confirmed. This is the point. Here's Dr. Eli David pointing out, Israel last month, 20% of the population unvaccinated. Israel today, 65% of the population unvaccinated. Why? Because after definition of vaccinated was changed to 3 shots, as well as 4, by the way, which they've already told you. If you've got your third and then you go 3 to 6 months past, which they've already defined that in different ways, in different locations, then you need to get the 4th, and then you will be fully vaccinated. And the 5th, they've already laid this out. They're very transparent about it. So my point is, altered definitions create what they call the pandemic of the unvaccinated. We just walked through it. Just like many other COVID illusions created by new definitions. How many of the unvaccinated had one or more injections? By my estimation, using publicly available data, it's most of them. And I just followed up by saying CDC states you're not fully vaccinated until 14 days after your second shot. The St. Louis government, among others, let it slip that you're no longer fully vaccinated until 3 months after the second dose. After 6 months, everyone needs the next booster. So unvaccinated is not what it seems. Think about that. Now, here is Deputy Dogley pointing out that Dr. Peter McCullough, which he did, said analyses of VAERS concluded 50% of the reported deaths occurred within 48 hours of the jab, which is true. 80% of deaths occur within the week. So you can very clearly see, even by reported data, which you can argue some of them are, you know, the only reason they're unverified is because they have yet to verify them. Unverified does not mean untrue. It means we haven't found out whether or not they're true. Some of them are. That's a fact. And it's saying 80% of deaths occur within the week. So right there, you've got people that got one shot or two and die within that week period, and they are considered unvaccinated. It says it right here. This is the CDC website. I've shown you this, but I've already talked about this. It's very obvious. You are not fully vaccinated. CDC says you are not fully vaccinated until 2 weeks after the injection. So it seems any death before then is recorded as unvaccinated. At the very least, in plenty of locations, you know that is the case. We've seen this continue to happen. Now, here is what COVID-1984 shares. This is a clip from Tucker Carlson show. Everything I agree with, other than the last thing he says, which of course is the only thing, which this is what I keep pointing out, is they're talking lots of truth, but then driving it back into the two-party narrative, which I think is ultimately the point. Regardless, it's true. Everything they say up until the last comment about the party doing it, because it's your government doing this to you, not one side or the other, regardless of what side seems to be on your side. I don't know why we just about get to that point where we can see, and then we get pulled right back in with some kind of narrative every single time. QAnon, Russiagate, every time. But I'll keep fighting for it. But listen to this truth, because he's right about what he's saying. Regardless of what you think about Fox News, Tucker Carlson, or anything else, what he's saying is true.
This is a pandemic.
Not him, by the way, not Biden. What Tucker says afterward. Listen to what Biden says first, though, because it's the setting the narrative of the things that they're not proving with facts.
Of the unvaccinated. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units.
It's such an outrageous lie. It's unbelievable. More than 1 million people coming in this year who he promised free health care, and he's blaming it on people who didn't get the shot.
Now, there's two things to say there, and he's right. Is one, that we're talking about people coming in from other countries who would arguably need health care. Now, that, of course, is a factor. Right? Like, why is that not even being mentioned? Well, because it's political, obviously. And this is the problem, right? But it's not, the problem is it's not just that. You can't just be like, well, it's all the wildly, highly politicized border discussion, which is now suddenly coming back into the conversation. But it's also the fact that it's the vaccinated being sick in the hospitals. Now, he has said that before. I'm not saying he hasn't. But it's interesting how quickly this gets easily diverted into a two-party argument or a wedge issue kind of conversation. But that's a valid point, though, nonetheless. Clearly, there's other factors here, and all they can do is just easily lump it into only one thing that works for their current agenda, whether it was a foreign policy, a war effort, you know, some other kind of argument, health, anything. This is what your government has always done. Always.
Many of whom have natural immunity and are less likely to get sick than a vaccinated person from COVID. What a lie. But the unvaccinated pose precisely zero danger to anyone who has been vaccinated.
That's the important part.
None. If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you face no conceivable danger whatsoever from people who have not been vaccinated.
Now, this is an interesting point because he's 100% right. Now, what they're trying, this is the weird, this is kind of like, again, the 9-11 thing where they claim we didn't tell it. We didn't argue that Iraq was the reason they, but everyone got that impression. That's because they did so in mildly subtle ways to get you to think that. And the same case is here. The pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are getting everybody sick with variants. But what they're not actually saying that you're literally getting people sick. What they're saying is your unvaccinated status is leading to circumstances that then risk other people's lives. And that's ridiculous. But even that is the opposite of what their people are taking from it. There's no actual risk. It's not like I'm going to be there and my presence is getting you sick by being there. I'm not sick. You see what I'm saying? What they're trying to argue and conflate is that anybody unvaccinated therefore has COVID and can spread it. And that's literally the reverse, right? Most of these people that have the injection are the ones that are showing to have all sorts of things that can be spread, including the spike protein. We're talking about people who are unvaccinated. That's not the same as somebody who is sick with COVID, but they're conflating all these things. And his point is valid. You do not have a risk from somebody who's unvaccinated, but they're conflating all of that to say that you're a danger. Therefore, your lack of action is currently risking my life. We are in 1984.
What we do have, and it's getting worse, is a severe staffing shortage at hospitals.
That too.
Massive. And the mandates are making it much, much worse. That is a crisis.
Yep.
What's Joe Biden's answer? Fire as many nurses as possible. Because the unvaccinated are the root of all these problems. It's the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Again, the vaccinated face no health threat from the unvaccinated. And the fact the president is claiming otherwise is shocking and wrong. And then last week, the entire lie unraveled completely. A panel of the FDA's vaccine experts, actual leading public health officials, blew up the whole idea in a single afternoon. By a vote of 16-2, not close at all, they emphatically rejected Joe Biden's plan for more shots. And for a moment, that seemed like a rare win for science and for public safety. That decision, said a former FDA official, quote, put the FDA back in the driver's seat and, quote, maintained the FDA's scientific independence from politicians. But just for a minute, because in Joe Biden's America, there is no independence from politicians. Shortly after midnight on Thursday.
I mean, are we really going to pretend that in Trump's America it was any different? You know, it's just, you know, that's not the point, though. But that this, and you'll see the last point he makes here. It's, you know, just this is the point of how they drive it back in. If he would just simply acknowledge that our government in general is doing this, I would, I mean, everything he's saying, in my opinion, is accurate. Now, maybe that I'm not trying to argue anything other than that.
The college professor who Biden appointed to run CDC, Rochelle Walensky, simply overruled the FDA panel. She didn't cite any scientific basis for overruling actual scientists. She just did it. And she did it because she can do it, because she's in power and you're not. You wouldn't call that, however you might describe it, following the science. You might instead call it total corruption of public health by a political party.
This,
right. As if it's just this one Democrat party that has brought us here. Right. And not the every single action that Trump did that started the entire thing, the state of emergency, the emergency authorization for the injection program, the warp speed, everything. Right. But it's just Biden's administration. I don't even think he believes that. You see what I mean? There's a political agenda there that's always going on, which drives me banana. I can't not point it out. Nonetheless, everything he said up until that point is absolutely spot on, 100%. It's just an illusion in every possible way. And he talks about a couple of other points in there. Actually, now that I'm...
Yeah, in a single afternoon, by a vote of 60 safety, that dependence from politicians, shortly after, from the unvaccinated, the vaccine experts, actual leading public...
Yeah, there's another point in there that I forgot about. Regardless, it's just incredible how we can see this illusion, how they're choosing to ignore certain factors, like natural immunity being one of them, which we'll talk about in a minute. There's no way to not see at some level they are being dishonest. And this brings us to the next point. And of how, you know, look, this is a valid clip that's very important. But what's problematic for me is a lot of this stuff, even some clips of people that, like, there was an Australian woman with her child. This clip is all of a sudden resurfaced by a lot of these, in my opinion, the people as large independent outlets that are very subjective, very one-sided, and you know, whether left or right. And using these things suddenly to be like, here's something I want you to get upset about and come look at my website without the context, without realizing, well, that was about 8-9 months ago. And so it's not that it doesn't matter, but it's you need to be clear about what's happening, right? You've seen that clip in that ending, the clip of that woman and her child that I played in my ending clip many times. But I think Gateway Pundit and Planet People, they play this clip as if it just happened, which I guess not terribly wrong because it still happened. And it's still terrible. But same point, this clip is from 2019. Or excuse me, 29. That's what I meant. I'm sorry, I didn't mean 2019. July 29th, right? So it's not valid, but it's from at least, you know, a month or more ago, right? So that needs to be stated as this circles around now, when things have definitely changed in a month. That's all I wanted to say on that note. This is still very valid and still important. But nonetheless, this has been making the rounds everywhere as if she just stated this, which seems to kind of go again. Her argument would simply be that I said that then and it's changed now. And then all of a sudden, all the anti-vaxxer, all the, you know, vaxxers out there, they're like, you guys are fake news and you're misrepresenting. Right. But listen to what she said, because it's important. Now, I'm actually going to play it here and then on the other one to show you one other point. But Richard says the part I sort of gets, the part where she says the vaccine carry much more viral load. And this is the important part, because that's the truth. And the science backs that up. But now again, even with, I think it was that the Atlantic article I just talked about, it pops up right there. Oh, that's the other one. Oh, well. Well, the other, we just talked about it yesterday where they're going, no, the unvaccinated are not just as like, well, that's not true. And the data does not back it up. And we made the case when we just researched that. But it says now she's saying vaxxed are putting unvaxxed at risk, which is, and you'll hear her herself. Listen to what she says.
Those who are vaccinated, we now know based on the CDC, they are now able, with the Delta variant, because they carry so much more virus, they could transmit it to their unvaccinated family members. And so I, for example, even though I'm fully vaccinated, my children are not because they're too young to be vaccinated. So I need to be now careful for my children because of all the unvaccinated people around us.
Right. So first of all, that's what she said. But it's a little bit out of sync with her lips. And so that just first to me, even for someone like me, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's wrong. Maybe they lie. Maybe somebody cut this. Right. So this is what I took time to find. This is from July 29th. And it says, we can't trust the unvaccinated. Dr. Lena Wen on vaccine mandates and how to stop the Delta variant. So I have it clipped or just set up to where it's right where the part starts. So you can see the full context of the clip. Now, in no way is she arguing that she's the same argument, exactly what she's always been saying. With the caveat of saying, but on top of that, the vaccinated only with the Delta variant are able to continue to spread more virus, but all that the answer is more vaccination. Like, it's just so silly. But it's important to see that, the full context, and how what she's admitting here is the point I go to next, which is that absolutely, not only are they can they spread it just as easy, but they have higher viral load than the unvaccinated. Now, remember, the Atlantic article was, there's the only thing this, like, 27 paragraph article was ultimately saying was, if you can't catch it as easily, you can't spread it as easily. But if you do catch it, the vaccinated are spreading it more, right? So the point is, well, you just won't catch it as easy if you're vaccinated, but that's not true. We've already shown in many cases, I'll just jump real quickly to point out yet again, that Delta is being shown to be resistant to the vaccine, that Lambda is already shown to be resistant to the vaccine, that Mu is, all these are being shown to be resistant to the vaccine. So the point is that if that's the case, then the vaccine won't do anything to stop it if it's resistant to it. So you see that it's just, they're just jumping from one narrative to the next with the science constantly one step behind, right on their heels, showing, look, that's not true. But here's what she said. Listen to the full point.
This week, President Biden responded to questions from reporters about the millions of Americans who are still unvaccinated.
We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated, and there's so much enormous confusion. The more we learn about this virus and the Delta variation, the more we worry and concern. And then only one thing we know for sure, if those other 100 million people got vaccinated, we'd be in a very different world. So get vaccinated. If you haven't, you're not getting smarter, let's say you are.
So that's President Biden. The virus now quicker, sicker, younger. Talk about who's packing the hospitals.
Not true.
Who's getting intubated? People, especially in their 20s and long COVID at this point, what we understand about it.
Right. Just the setup. Like, I mean, look, it's long since been where Democracy Now was anything other than, in my opinion, another problem. But the setup is obviously hinging on all sorts of undefinables. Right? Like, look, again, how many of those so-called unvaccinated people are just within the category that makes them unvaccinated despite having shots? Plenty of them are. How about the kids, or how about any number of other things? They're just getting PCR tests, being told they're sick, right? Are people in there with other things like flu and pneumonia being told they have COVID-19? All of these things are happening. We've already proven this stuff to you to some degree. So when we just keep dumping all this stuff on there, then we add in the timing issue, we add in the time delayed, all the things we just talked about. It's obvious this is something that at the very least is possible, can be used to sway it in a direction they want it to look like. I say possible because that's all we can say as an objective person. What's my opinion? 100% they're doing this. That's my opinion. It's very clear to me based on all the stuff we're looking at and everything else, the full picture. It's obvious that this is what they want. Maybe they think they're doing it for a good reason. I don't know. It doesn't even matter to me at this point. It's the obvious deception.
Even if you're not as sick, possibly being sicker for so much longer.
Yeah, these are really good points. And I'd say two things about where we are and who's getting sicker based on the science and based on what we're seeing. The first is that The good news is that older individuals, those who have chronic medical illnesses, tend to be the people who are vaccinated. And that's why we are seeing a shift to younger groups. But it's young people. I mean, we're talking about people in their 30s and 40s who are becoming so ill that they're dying and leaving behind their young children and families as orphans. We're talking about people in their 20s who may think that they are invincible. But exactly to your point, that they're really not. I mean, they are also getting ill. And even if they recover and leave the hospital, what ends up happening is that they have these long-haul COVID symptoms.
Oh, really? Oh, we can prove that, and all of them do? Like, you realize how subjective all this is? How many of them, Dr. Nguyen? All of them? Some of them? 20%? 50%? They just have them, she says, as a blanket statement. How in the possible world could you know that? We're not even there yet, and then she just says all of them do? And how about the fact that you just skipped over the number? How many kids? How many more? How many did it start with? Context. But no, kids now are more in the hospital than before. Is there one more? 10 more? Well, 335, total 400. They keep yelling about kids, or that's deaths, remember? That's the total 400 kids that have died. But we're acting like that's the... God, this infuriates me. We already know that at least half of the hospitalizations they kept parroting from before were shown to be false. We know that the total number of deaths they keep attributing to children have not even been verified. And now suddenly we're at a point where they're arguing we're more than before. The entire resting narrative is falling apart and we're standing on it and going forward, like I keep telling you.
I mean, I've seen patients, for example, who even months after they get relatively mild symptoms, they're still so short of breath that they have trouble walking just a couple of blocks.
Yeah, maybe because they're continuing to wear a mask. Maybe because they're doing something like taking an injection that gives those problems to them. Maybe that there's a lot of other things that we pretend aren't happening. Maybe. That's all I'm ever saying.
So tired, they have difficulty concentrating at work. And some people have even had to take disability leave because of the symptoms that they're having.
All of these, in my opinion, sound like things that can be caused by hypercapnia and hypoxia. They're different, right? Hypercapnia, different hypoxia, things that, you know, happen in similar circumstances. One is lack of oxygen. One is too much carbon dioxide in your blood. The mask can lead to that, which can cause things. I mean, everything she just described, as well as the injections, by the way, that have all sorts of these same side effects, but let's not factor any of that in. Now it gets to get to the point to where it's the same as the video.
Some people are also left with loss of hair, loss of smell or taste, and can't now enjoy food. And they don't know when this return to normal is going to be. And so long COVID is a real problem. I think something else that you mentioned about the younger, quicker, sicker, I think is a really good point, that with the Delta variant that we now have.
I'm sorry, stop one more time before. Somebody in the comments says that Malone says he's got long COVID. Now, look, I'm not arguing it's not possible. You understand? That's what I said before, that all of these... any of these, flu, anything. There's all sorts of studies about how these things have been shown to have lasting, in some cases, effects. It's just something that's possible, right? But to argue that we know the consequence of long COVID, whatever that would mean, or that it's even there, is unsound. It just is. Because we're not with the time frame we usually use to define these things or even study them are simply not there. But as somebody who, like Malone, has a background in this field, and he says that, well, certainly it's possible. I hope that's clear, right? I mean, but this is just ridiculous that we're arguing that we know that everyone has it.
We know that a person...
Oh, good point. I'm sorry. By the way, Malone did also get the injection. So there you go.
Infected with the Delta variant carries 1,000 times the viral load than someone infected with the previous variants. And what that means is that person can transmit a lot more virus. They also get ill a lot faster. And so potentially they could infect a lot more people as well. And so I think people who are unvaccinated should really know that they are at high risk. And also that this is not just, I mean, I agree with everything, the clip that you played from.
I'm sorry, I have to keep stopping it. You guys can get mad if you want. So the point is about the Delta variant, right? What did she just tell you right there? Right? Everything we've been talking about, didn't left off, you know, that it's actually more deadly, just all the things that are right. But if it's vaccine resistant, and we already shown you that in natural immunity, in the context of natural immunity, you trying to grab this really quick. All, if you have natural immunity, which half this country or more already has, you already have immunity to all the things they're talking about, including the Delta variant, which is the point, which this is this study. This is what they found. Identified 4 antibodies from early outbreak convalescent donors way from the beginning that already had 23 variant potent antibodies against 23 variants, including variants of concern. So we have natural immunity in the sense. We have people that are the Delta variant's resistant to the vaccine. So you can see the difference here, right? But yet she's continuing to argue that people who are unvaccinated are the ones at risk. How does that even possibly make sense? Maybe some, but even then, most of them aren't at risk naturally anyway, because they have way too small of a risk. And that's most of the population. This is such an illusion. It's ridiculous. That doesn't mean that there's not some risk that somebody could still get sick and die. I've always said this at the very beginning. It's a choice. It's about your choice to have the full information and decide for yourself whether you think you need this. In my opinion, you don't, but it should be up to you.
Biden, but this is not just a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is also spilling over to the vaccinated. And those who are vaccinated, we now know based on the CDC, they are now able, but with the Delta variant, because they carry so much more virus, they could transmit it to their unvaccinated family members. And so I, for example, even though I'm fully vaccinated, my children are not because they're too young to be vaccinated. So I need to be now careful for my children because of all the unvaccinated people around us.
Many countries have been unable to secure enough vaccines for their populations, and children and students in the United States and around the world have had their education disrupted for more than a year and a half. This is James Elder of the United Nations Children's Fund speaking at a press briefing in Geneva.
Anyway, so the point here, guys, interestingly, is that she's saying exactly what it does sound like, right? She's telling you what challenges today. They are having more viral load in their nose and their mucosal. This is where mucosal immunity comes into play than the vaccinated or than the unvaccinated, which means they can spread it more, right? If the Delta variant is resistant to the injection, which means it won't help them, and most of the people who are unvaccinated have natural immunity, which we've already gone over many times, which means they do have antibodies to that as well as many other things we'll go over in a brief moment next. There's no way to misunderstand this. And then on top of that, the vast majority of people they're trying to get injected already have a very, very, very low risk, if in fact statistically insignificant in most cases. It's unreal. Oh, on a quick side note, by the way, I just found this very interesting. Somebody shared this from before. It's interesting to see how these characters continue to pop back up in the media. Here's an interesting crossover from CNN to the Boston bombing. It's Lena Wen. What do you know? Lena Wen's COVID audition, they say on this post, displaying all her acting skills right from the Boston bombing in location and exclusive for her future employer. But it is very strange to me. I'm not implying anything other than I find it strange that she's Johnny on the spot here for the Boston bombing when, and now, I don't know, something about this seems strange. I'll let you decide for yourself why.
Joining me now is Dr. Lena Wen. She's an emergency room physician who was working at Massachusetts General Hospital the day of the terror attack. She also works at Brigham and Women's Hospital. So you were at Massachusetts General Monday. What happened?
Oh, it was a horrific day. We had no idea what was coming. It was 3 o'clock and we heard that there were 2 explosions, but we didn't know where. We had no idea how many people were coming to us.
How many people came?
It seemed like dozens, and it was. It was probably nearly 3 dozen patients in 2 hours or so.
And was the hospital ready for it? I've heard from Dr. Walls from the other Brigham and Women's Hospital that because of all the drills the hospitals here have been running since 9/11, you were unbelievably prepared.
Technically and medically, we were ready. We had done drills. We knew what to do with each individual patient who came in. But I've never seen a trauma like this before. The volume and the nature of the trauma was really chilling and really shocking.
And on a personal note, you hadn't yet heard from your husband while this was all going on. And then you hear a cell phone ring. You reach into your pocket, but it wasn't your cell phone ringing.
Yeah, so we actually live just a block away from here, from Copley Square. And my husband had told me that he was coming to watch at the finish line. And then we heard that the explosions happened. So while I was treating patients, I had no idea whether the next patient was going to be my husband.
Gosh,
I really thought because there was soot and blood everywhere, I thought there was a good chance that the next patient I'd be seeing on the stretcher would turn out to be my husband.
But he was okay.
He ended up being unharmed, but I couldn't reach him for hours because of phone lines being full and all these things. So.
One of the things that Dr. Walls told me is that he talked to his protege who works in Colorado and dealt with the Aurora shootings. Right. And he said, what's one piece of advice? And he said, we took care of our people, the emotional trauma that they felt. but you can always do more. It still wasn't enough. Have you found that? Or are the doctors and nurses and others who work at the hospital, are they still dealing with this and struggling with it?
Absolutely. I know that. I certainly do. I have nightmares. And whenever I hear sirens or the loudspeaker for the ambulance going off, I think about Monday. And it's something that I know I have to do better at. I need to take care of myself and our colleagues in order for us to take care of our patients going forward, too.
Well, thank you for the work you do, Dr. West.
God, I mean, you know, I try really, I mean, you see, I am as objective as I'm possibly able to be. And sometimes I fail in that, but I have to say everything about that felt just so incredibly staged, fake. You know, we're supposed to say that on YouTube, you get censored, fake news. But it's just the way that she's talking, it seems wildly prepared, which we all know that's how this works. Even if it's a genuine interview, they still coach you and they still tell you whether, you know, that's how this works. But it just seems very strange. Like everything about it did not seem genuine to me. Just my opinion. Think about it for yourself. Regardless of that, it's very strange that she just has this kind of happens to be right there and her husband happened to be on the finish line and they happen to be she's the one person driving this into very, very strange to me. But just to finish off on this segment, double jab people carry same levels of COVID as unvaccinated. Don't forget about that coming from August 19th on the Telegraph, even though now they are literally trying to argue that's not true. Right? You are just as likely to spread it, just as likely to catch it, just as likely to do everything as what they're telling you happened unvaccinated. Then you factor in that whether you have natural immunity, which dramatically decreases, if not completely removes that risk from you. Then you factor in whether you even have a risk, statistically speaking, based on your age. And then you see pretty clearly that the increased risk going along with the injection and the increased risk of viral load that they just admitted to all lead to you getting more sick and being blamed on people that don't have any risk. Because, oh, you're 13 days after your shot, so therefore you're unvaccinated. It's not very hard to see how this could work. But let's get into the real quick point about natural immunity. Natural immunity emerges as potential legal challenge to federal COVID-19 vaccination mandates. A legal challenge. But here's what concerns me about this article. This is, my opinion, the natural evolution of how they suddenly start to maybe admit something, which I don't even know how it's possible we need to admit something we've always all known, but that's where we are today. People are literally brainwashed to the point to where we're going, no, there's no such thing as natural immunity. This is a conspiracy theory of natural immunity. It's just crazy that these are so-called doctors and scientists. It's crazy. But now we're getting to that point, just like all the rest of them, where they go, well, kind of going to admit the thing we've all been censored for saying, but that's because it leads to the next step, which is that now we're going to allow you to use natural immunity, but you need to have a test and you need to have a record of it and you need to have this patent. Then you need to show that before you go in places. You see where that goes? It's the same means to an end, because that's really what I think this is about. There is a huge alarming thing going on with whatever they're using to test on people here, but it's also about leading to the infrastructure, to the Great Reset, and to what they're building. And the biosecurity state is a central part of that. That's one of the pillars of what they're doing. But ultimately leads you into that. And you'll see what I mean. The argument that natural immunity against COVID-19 is an alternative to vaccination is emerging as a potential legal challenge to federal mandated vaccine policies. You realize how insulting that sentence is in and of itself? So science is a potential legal challenge to a mandate of something? So now it's about legal. Well, so who cares about facts and science, right? Trust the science, but now we've got a legal. So because government said, now you have to take the facts and science to a court of law and argue whether the facts and science are more important than their mandate based on what they're arguing. That's what we're saying here. And they even make that exact sentence in this article. It's about legal versus science. What? These are the very people telling you to trust the science, but now it's a legal argument. We got to let the courts handle it. Seriously? Like these people are, they must in themselves be like, I look ridiculous right now, but I don't think they care. Vaccination is already required for certain workers and some college students, which is disgusting right now. Absolutely disgusting. Oh, and by the way, that's what we're talking about right here. That's with this student athlete who, by the way, they don't want to show his picture or show anything like that because they don't want you to humanize this person's problem. But here he is, Division I golf player who's losing his entire future because of what they made him do, right? That's the fact. But they're already forcing it. The federal government, by the way, has also invoked the U.S. Department of Labor to mandate inoculations for healthcare workers. The stated goal behind mandatory injections policy is to protect against the spread of disease, meaning that the crux of any policy is immunity. The notion that a previous COVID-19 infection provides natural immunity that can be at least as good as vaccination, I say the framing is so insulting, in some people is something a judge would likely need to consider in a challenge to mandatory. Oh, great. So first of all, we're pretending that natural immunity is something you need to prove in a court of law, or that it's as good as vaccination, or how about it's what vaccination has always strived to be as good as. We're reinventing the wheel here, guys, based on their narrative around COVID-19, and it's insulting. But it says, quote, I think that a judge might reject a rule that's been issued as a body like the U.S. Department of Labor or by a state that has not been sufficiently thought through as it relates to the science. This is from Eric Eisenman, a labor and employee attorney with Hirsch Blackwell, told Finance, Yahoo Finance. But what's funny is that, again, we're simply saying that ultimately comes down to an argument in court of law. This is coming from people who literally are all aware that natural immunity has always been something that we all understand and all engage with. Whether you even agree, maybe your train theory argument today, you're still that you're saying that's not even real. It doesn't matter in the context of the argument. That has been what they same people have been stating is the fact right up until it no longer served their interests. That's the point. It says some recent research, which looks at hundreds of thousands of cases in Israel, here we go again, and has yet to undergo peer review, so it's questionable, indicates that natural immunity might be at least as effective as vaccination. This is literally the argument. This is coming from people that are even entertaining natural immunity. This was my point about the Kim Iverson argument. Going, well, here's the new thing about this, or who, I forget, maybe it wasn't her. Somebody else was arguing this, and it was another quasi-independent going, well, here's this new study from Israel, but it hasn't been peer-reviewed yet. Guys, I don't know how many times I can do this, and this is what I mean about working together. Where are all the rest of them? I'm screaming about this for months. Right now, we have all sorts of peer-reviewed science from all sorts of highly regarded outlets telling you, longitudinal analysis shows durable and broad immunity memory after SARS-CoV-2 infection with persisting antibody responses. Memory B, T cells. Most recovered patients had broad, durable immunity after infection, neutralizing antibodies. Memory B, CD4, CD8 T cells. WHO says within 4 weeks, 90 to 99% of individuals infected had developed neutralizing antibodies. Here's the NIH, 26th, January 2021. Lasting immunity found after recovery from COVID-19. JCI Insight, a majority of uninfected adults, meaning before this all started, already showed pre-existing antibodies. And by the way, they also mentioned the rest of what we talked about in here, which I don't want to find again and highlight, but we get into the other ones as well, right here. Reactive T and B cells, right? This is people who weren't even infected. Same point, Nature, SARS-CoV-2 specific T cell immunity in cases of people who had SARS-CoV-2, and SARS, and even the uninfected controls. What a happy coincidence. Looks like it turns out people in the control group also have T-cell immunity to SARS-CoV-2. How is that possible? Well, they get into it in the article, which means that people before this likely had immunity with T-cell immunity, memory B, and antibodies because of the cold, because of SARS, because of any number of things, or because it was circulating in the country before we were told about it. Doesn't matter which, at the end of the day, we already know most people in this country already had immunity. That's what the scientific research has been telling us since July 2020. How is this possible that we can have people right now go, well, a new thing that's not peer-reviewed kind of says it might be the case, but we're not sure about natural immunity. It's really stupid. That either means these people have literally no understanding of what it means to do due diligence at all, or they don't care. Here's The Lancet, or specifically eBioMedicine, published by The Lancet. SARS-CoV-2 elicits robust adaptive immune responses, regardless of disease severity. And that's important because what it shows you is that you can just get a very mild case, maybe not even know you had it, and you still have robust, lasting immunity, as well as the other things we list down here as well. CDT8 T cells, which is really important in regard to COVID-19. None of this matters according to these people. This is June 1st, 2021. Had COVID-19, you'll probably make antibodies for a lifetime, they say on Nature, May 27th. Here's a study from Israel, of all places, as they cite the Israeli study. This is back on September 2nd. COVID recovery gave Israel's longer lasting Delta defense than vaccines. That's all they can point to. Back to the article. Good God, guys, help me spread this stuff. I know you're in there doing as ever, you know, out in the chat doing as best you can. We need to get this information in front of people. Somebody make a clip of this one part, share it everywhere. It's amazing to me that half the independent media doesn't even know about this stuff. Why is that? Other peer-reviewed research, it says, cited by the CDC, which looks at dozens of cases in the U.S., indicated that, guess what? Certain people who suffered from a COVID-19 infection did not create antibodies, i.e. natural immunity, at all. oh, cool. So you did a study and found that some specific people might not have gotten it. Yes, that's called the fact in any case all the time. Guess what? People who get this injection have also showed to not get what you keep claiming they did. And that's from your own research. Is there a case where somebody could get an infection and walk away not having it? Yes, that's why this WHO says 90 to 99%. But to frame it in a way that makes it look like they won't get it, when you don't even give a metric on how many, and it's only an indication, this is called erring on the side of what you want people to think. Now, here's another part that just makes me sick. Now, they jump from a non-peer-reviewed study that suggests this. They skip over all of this science that's been here for months, since 2020, even before. They skip all of that and jump right to, in August, the CDC published a study of 246 Kentucky residents. That's it. Concluding that vaccination offers higher... Oh, dang it. Oh, tell me I didn't click the link. Okay, good. Offers higher protection than previous COVID infection. So the CDC did a huge study of 246 people in one location. And of course, ask yourself why they chose that location versus other ones. And I've already gone over this. There's a reason they chose that location. The CDC said the study went through a rigorous multi-level clearance process before submission, though analysis was conducted before the Delta variant became prevalent. Oh, shocking. That's called a choice, guys. They did this after this, knowing the Delta variant was vaccine resistant, knowing that we were watching the vaccinated people suffer, and yet they still swing back into a period from before because they chose, that's called selective editing, or selective, you know, they're picking times they can use to manipulate the data, of 246 people in one location, and concluding, the CDC says the Kentucky data indicates, not even shows or prove, it indicates that the vaccines offer better protection than natural immunity alone. How does anybody trust these people? If the NIH themselves can say on their website that you have lasting immunity, and yet here we are, where the CDC picks one small grouping of a wildly small group and says this one thing says you should get the injection. Including, by the way, those who have experienced a prior infection. Yes, and this brings us back again to yet another point that I keep reiterating. This is one of at least four studies that have made the same argument. Infection-enhancing antibodies that recognize both the original strain, which all of these injections are based on, and the Delta variant, a potential risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. Why? Antibody-dependent enhancement, meaning your body attacks itself, may be a concern for people receiving vaccines based on the original strain, which all these injections are, either mRNA or viral vectors. Why? Because they come into contact with the Delta variant. So right now, they're telling you Delta's everywhere. Right now, all the injections are based on the Wuhan strain. So they frame it. Okay, so it's not hard to understand. If you've had an injection and you come into contact with the actual problem, it will be worse for you. That's what the science shows. And yet here they are going, well, because of 246 people in one location that we clearly manipulated, but I've already shown you, this suggests that this is better. And we're going to ignore the huge body of science from all the people we tell you to trust that say the opposite. How is this still happening? Legally, challenging COVID-19 vaccine mandates involves both science and law. Great. So trust the science. But when it comes to what we're saying, now you have to argue in a court of law whether that science is valid because of a mandate, not even an actual law. We've broken ourselves, guys, whether we were even actually not broken to begin with. This is crazy. It says there's little room to challenge a private sector employer's independent vaccination mandate because private employers, with certain exceptions for medical and religious reasons, even though they're not doing that, have a right to adopt their own policies aside from any government mandate. No, they don't. In fact, they literally do not have a legal right to force an injection, experimental or otherwise, approved or otherwise, on anybody. The only reason they're allowed to do this is because of the fact that the government said they could, because of the emergency authorization and because of the state of emergency. That is the only reason. So here's Yahoo wildly misleading you. At the same time, some private companies are incorporating natural immunity into their company vaccination status. At first you go, hey, that's great. Except here's why. On September 9th, Spectrum Health, a Michigan-based healthcare provider, became one of the first major employers, and I argue this is where they're all going to go, in the country to offer its workers proof of natural immunity as a temporary alternative to vaccination. Temporary. lasting and robust, possibly the rest of your life, but it's an old, it'll last as long as we tell you until the next booster comes out. According to Detroit News, the company will accept, will accept a positive antibody test within the past 3 months. So 3 months. Why 3 months? Oh, what do you know, guys? There's a 3 months again. Why does 3 months come back up? Because that's when they argue you need your next dose, because that is when they see the waning begin in what they're doing. There's obvious correlations here. That's why they censored this. And I literally argue they censored this because we blasted it. We talked about it before anybody was pointing to it, and suddenly it's gone now. But here you are. Why would you need 3 month intervals after a lasting immunity that every scientific outlet says lasts possibly the rest of your life? Gee, because maybe they're trying to completely keep you in the frame of vaccines, boosters, and keeping yourself locked in this infrastructure. But it also says on top of that test and 3 month cap, that's going to be coupled with a PCR test or an antigen test. Right. So the bottom line is they drive you into the infrastructure. You're getting tested. You're getting COVID. Eventually you're going to go, you know what? Dang it. Give me the injection. That's what they're hoping you're going to do. And either way, you have a card, you have a digital VAT proof. You're continuing to be part of the problem. This is alarming because I truly believe that's where it's going. Now, it's not going to stop as we keep trying to show you. Here's San Francisco Chronicle pointing out a new strain is making headlines this week, right? Just every other day, another strain's popping off while the more, like, continually more people get injected, which is the opposite of what they keep telling is going to happen. Please continue to note that the increased rate of variants is getting faster with the more people that get injected. There's no way to miss that. Correlation's not causation, but it matters. This week, after being linked to an outbreak at a Kentucky nursing home. Kentucky, isn't that interesting? Where the variant known as R1 infected both vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Is the variant currently spreading in California? Now, look, you have to always add these caveats to both sides of this. We're using PCR tests to find out if they're infected. Neither of them could be. It could be a false positive. You could argue that both the unvaccinated people could be people that actually have one shot or more, right? There's a lot of factors in here that just are undefined. They never really give it to you. Sort of like we're seeing things where it goes, oh, this person died from a short illness. What in the world is a short illness? Probably something they don't want you to find because they later don't give you any more details. It's very weird how there's a very closed-lipped thing. Before, it was more they could give you. Bleeds, it leads, right? We want to give you all the gory details. Now, it's literally this person passed away. Now to the next story. Like, what? That's pretty strange. But the variants will continue to pop up. R1 variant, the barrier, what you need to know about the highly mutated strain, the main point is, infected both vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Now, we're being told this. Could be true. Could be literally everybody. And maybe this is the one that now slipped past, whatever. But remember, unvaccinated could literally mean a lot of people who are injected. And that could also then mean that there's a lot of people that are also literally unvaccinated with no shots whatsoever that have immunity to this, as we're seeing. And they're just not being counted as anything. That's certainly possible as well. This is why we're in a situation where it's so wildly undefined, because they've broken everything. They've changed the definitions and they're just saying what they want to say. If herd immunity could suddenly shift one day to the next, if the word vaccine can shift from one day to the next, so can literally everything else. That's what we're watching happen. Delta variant requiring resistance to the wild spike vaccines, which they're all based on. Lambda's already there. Mu's already been shown to be that way. So how can we continue to push in the idea that we should force this thing if we're being told it's not stopping anyway? And the natural immunity part is just as powerful as it was against all of those. As James Lyons Weiler, PhD, points out, the earth is round. 2 + 2 = 4. The current vaccines have lower efficacy against circulating types than required for the FDA's emergency use authorization. It's funny how we just ignore those things right now. As he says, these are incontrovertible facts. The point being, guys, it's listed on their own documentation that these things need to be at least 50% effective. Otherwise, you can't emergency authorize them. They're way below that right now, as we were, again, as we are watching take place. They don't care. You realize it's still emergency authorized for 12 to 15 year olds. That's still being given. The efficacy has been shown by Israel and many other places to be way below that, but they don't care. Simple as that. James has been doing a great job on all this, and I'm glad he continues to point this stuff out. And this one is still very important. Ultra potent antibodies against diverse and highly transmissible variants. There's only one place that you're getting antibodies. memory T cells, memory B, CD8, all these things we're talking about. There's only one place you're getting that from. Natural infection. Even if what they claim happens from this injection, you're only getting one, the antibodies regard to the spike protein, that's it. They've told you that. Doesn't provide mucosal immunity, which means your increased viral load they all just admitted to is clearly continuing to spread. That's why they can still spread it just as easily, and in fact, more so with higher viral load in their nose. You get potent antibodies against 23 variants, including the variants of concern, if you've had natural immunity from the very beginning. And if you get forced to take this injection now, after you already have been infected, whether you knew it or not, because remember, regardless of disease severity, it will hurt you, or it can, as the Journal of Infection is telling you. This is what trusting the science looks like. And I'm not even saying I'm trusting anything. I'm reading the science and I'm using that to formulate my opinions. They're just ignoring all of this. On another note, here's the Daily Mail going, why are so many suffering dreadful COVID symptoms, but still testing negative? Sarah Vine was convinced she had it, but countless tests said otherwise. And she's far from alone. So what's going on? As I tweeted out, I said, well, I'll give you two guesses, but you only need one. Before I even say that, first of all, is it possible these people are getting tested and they're coming back negative when they're positive? Of course it is. That's one thing they kept saying in the beginning while ignoring the false positive. But see, I won't be just as subjective as them. Obviously, there are also false negatives, guys. We all can admit that. Anyone honest can. But obviously, when you err above 30 to 40 cycle thresholds, the false positive rate is through the roof. That's the point. But what do I think is happening here? Why? So you're testing negative, so they're telling you you don't have it, but you're still having symptoms of COVID-19. Well, what could possibly cause that? I don't know. The injection that's being given to all these people, and they're all getting side effects from it. They're all being told they have COVID, or the spike protein that's spreading from person to person, and they're being told they've got COVID, even though it's causing them. It's obvious this is, in some case, what's happening. So what's going on? Right? It's like, guys, it's anybody who even cares to be remotely transparent and honest is going to at least offer the possibility that the injection is causing this. But that's not, you're not allowed to. You know, the point they made before where people are getting like comfortable and saying like, well, this has side effects. Like now it's comfortable for people, even in the quasi mainstream, to come out and be like, well, there are some side effects, but that used to be off the table, right? Right now, to point out that this is possible, that the injection is causing a mass side effects issue that no one's pointing to, you're not allowed to say that right now. But you will probably see these quasi independents start to say that in a few months after it becomes acceptable, as it gets even worse. That's my point about my choke point of information. But this is a no-brainer, guys. As Slow News Day points out, 38 shots now from before 24 months of age. 2 years. 38 shots before 2 years of age. That doesn't have anything to do with health at all. That's called job security. I agree with him, but that's his opinion. I'm not here to fully S on Western medicine. I am, straight up. Western medicine is a disgusting Frankenstein of triage. And I mean, it's disgusting. What we do to people is gross and wrong and backward. And I've been saying that for a long time. Like I reference what Truth 3 Media said a while back that I thought was hilarious. Then we're going to look back 20 years, 10 years, whatever it takes us to reflect on how broken we are right now. And we're going to go, it's amazing that what we thought was health was, here's a pill and let me cut things off your body. That's what we do today. That's called Western health, Western medicine. What we need to get back to is a holistic approach. It's about our body. Our body is designed to heal itself. And yes, there are some cases where it needs help. But the point is, doing things we do today in every possible way hurt other processes of your body. And what we need to do is find ways to health and make your body healthy enough to where it's able to fight for itself. That's not where we are today. Our broken medical system is petrochemical-based pharmaceuticals at pretty much every turn. And if those don't work, we cut things off your body. I mean, or, you know, variations therein. Now, I'm sure plenty of people will take issue with that, especially today. And I'm being obviously simplified and facetious to a small degree, but I very clearly think that we are doing things today which do not lead to health. How is it possible that one of the leading causes of death in this country, if not the leading cause today, are medical treatment? We just don't like to address these things. Anyway, he says, but sweet baby Jesus, that's more drugs than a death metal bassist sees in a stadium tour. What happened to natural health? Exactly my point. Look at this. And look, after 1983, remember the act of 1983 when they removed when they gave these people indemnity? Look at what happened since. It says down here, the U.S. gives 2 to 3 times more vaccines to children than most developed countries. Yet we have skyrocketing rates of childhood issues that are not seen in other countries. This is not a joke either. This is a fact. On top of the fact that we're talking about infant death, like child, in regard to infant death for people, you know, that people dying and children dying at young ages, we are way up on that scale. It used to be very, I mean, I don't want to misquote it since I've looked at it in a long time, but it doesn't correlate with what we pretend we have today. That's the main point of that. And on that note, you know what? I'm actually going to play this clip right now because it seems wildly relevant because I'm almost done with the show anyway. Let's play this clip of Pilevsky again to cite exactly what this is saying right here, right? All these things we're seeing, childhood leukemia, development delays, ADHD, all these things we're seeing. Now, if I say right there, it's not a coincidence. It could be related to the injections. Oh, you're an anti-vax conspiracy theory. Okay, conspiracy theorist. But here's a doctor in front of the government telling you exactly that.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions. And we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures.
This is crazy. I could play the second part of that, and it's just as valid. But that was right before this all started. Dr. Pilevsky. And of course, he's been one of the people speaking out about this, so therefore he's debunked for life now. Obviously, I'm joking. But the reality is he's been speaking out and telling you these things long before we got here. All valid, right? It's just incredible how this stuff is dismissed. And now Veyers, Open Veyers, being the group that's continuing to show you all this information, but they're pulling directly from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, showing you the outrageous reality we're at here. 15,000 plus deaths reported, 66,000 hospitalizations reported over. It's overwhelming. Overwhelming what we're actually looking at here, guys. And they just continue to pretend like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Here's an example of somebody. This is from, was it Illy, I believe? She died at age 14. The doctors who vaccinated her and visited her after illness were investigated. It says, according to the report, the 14-year-old girl was given the dose of Pfizer vaccine on July 22nd, and the second dose on August 17th. Immediately after the second dose, the girl became unwell and took a medication of some kind. It says, it's in a different language. Okay, so it says maybe it was, maybe I take Italy back. I'm thinking maybe South America. But anyway, it says, but on August 18th, she started complaining of severe eye pain and swelling of her right eyelid. Her parents took her to the doctor's office and hospitalization was suggested, which took place on the following of 19th of August. Now here, right here, that is an unvaccinated hospitalization. That's not my opinion. That's what the CDC has listed. She got the injection. She got her second injection, but it was before, it was less than 14 days after the second injection. So she is unvaccinated according to their data. So she got hospitalized based on the fact that this is clearly happening after the injection, yet it's going down as an unvaccinated hospitalization. And then when she dies, it's an unvaccinated death. Make sure you understand that. It says, according to her lawyer, the 14-year-old was subjected to a CT scan and a form of tumor in her ocular part and was found. For this is investigation was requested. It's a, you know, translation. But the girl entered an irreversible coma and on the 20th of August was transferred to the hospital, pediatric hospital in Bari, where the doctors diagnosed a form of meningitis. This is, we were just talking about this. And the Dr. Ryan Cole was the one coming out and making these points, telling you that there's a reason these things are popping up.
But what we're seeing in the laboratory after people get these shots, we're seeing a very concerning locked in low profile of these important killer T cells that you want in your body. It's almost a reverse HIV. In HIV, you lose your helper T cells, your CD4 cells. In this virus post-vaccine, what we're seeing is a drop in your killer T cells, your CD8 cells. And what did CD8 cells do? They keep all other viruses in check. What am I seeing in the laboratory? I'm seeing an uptick of herpes family viruses. I'm seeing herpes. I'm seeing shingles. I'm seeing mono. I'm seeing a huge uptick in human papillomavirus in the cervical biopsies and the cervical pap smears in women. In addition to that, there's a little infectious, you know, bump the kids get called molluscum contagiosum. What do you need to keep that in check? You need CD8 killer T cells. I am seeing a 20 times increase in individuals over the age of 50 of this little bump and rash. You know, that's innocuous, but what it tells me is the immune status of these individuals who have gotten the shot. We're literally weakening the immune system of these individuals. Now, most concerning of all is there's a pattern of these types of immune cells in the body that keep cancer in check. Well, since January 1, in the laboratory, I've seen a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers over what I see on an annual basis. A 20 times increase. I'm not exactly.
That's crazy. I played the full clip before, but I mean, these are what we're seeing. Now, you could argue that's not connected, but nobody cares to look. Jeremy Shardy looks like a tennis player. I regret getting vaccinated, he says. I have serious problems now. Of course, could he be wrong? Sure. But the point is, we're not trying to find out. He says this, therefore he's anti-vaxxer, therefore he's a bad person. Everybody attack him. That's what's going on right now. So he gets attacked like a maniac. How dare you tell the truth? Like, this is the same point. Even if you people think he's telling the truth, you're creating vaccine hesitancy. Yahoo just made this point. How dare you irresponsibly share what happened to you, right? I mean, this is just like the other person who said his elbow is causing a problem, right? They just attack these people. Angela Nashville points this out. This is from another. This is from one of the doctor or nurse sharing this information with you.
Look, they're threatening me already. They want to kill me. They want to kill my dog. I tell them, what has my dog got to do with this? What, he's got nothing to do with this. You want to kill me? Go ahead and kill me. So oddly enough, a patient that had the vaccine is now having some reaction to it. More and more people are having a reaction to this vaccine. And here's how they're skewing the data. This is what I heard from one of the top three vaccines person today. They're skewing the data because if they have reactions after 7 days, they're not counting that. It's not a reaction. Reactions are within the first 24 to 48 hours.
All right. I mean, you can keep watching all these, but the point is they are manipulating the data, guys. And it's so very clear. When they accuse everybody of cherry picking, this is what that means. And that's exactly, God, my microphone's killing me right now. That's exactly what they're doing. This is manipulating data and making it look the way that they want it to, right? There's more down here you can watch for yourself. Here is another image, another video, excuse me, of these break my heart of what's happening. Even the fact that people then continue to make these choices based on, the fact that they're doing the right thing despite the reality of what they're dealing with.
Well, I did it. I have my second shot of Moderna. I am set, folks. So y'all, painless, easy, get her done.
Thank you.
So at this point, for those in the podcast, it's another post from this woman talking about what the negative side effects, both her husband, after promoting this online. So this is the final post saying, for those who have inquired if the COVID vaccine was the cause of Ray's heartache arrest, there's absolutely no evidence to support this theory. Right? I mean, it's amazing that this is the case. It just, I continue to wonder why people would put themselves in these positions. How is there so much trust for a government that has lied to your entire life while we're watching what's, I mean, I can't get past it. In your own personal circle, and yet you still side with their narrative. But to finish this off today, guys, Peter Sweden points out, it has happened. Norway has now removed all restrictions and COVID passports are not required. Gosh darn it. Hold on one second. Something going wrong with my microphone here. That's driving me crazy. So Norway has removed all COVID restrictions and COVID passports are not required. Life is back to normal. Freedom Day. You know, this is his opinion. I wouldn't argue it's back to normal. But the point is that there's a lot of these Norwegian locations that are absolutely bucking everything that's happening. Sweden's been doing it from the very beginning. Super, super important to understand. It's challenging everything they're saying. And the only thing they can do is ignore it. How can you possibly look at places like this and act like that doesn't disprove the entire illusion? Sweden being the main one that never went along with it and has still never gotten to where they keep screaming they're destined to go. Just give it 1 week and they'll all be dead. That's all we've been hearing for a year. Nope. Sorry, guys. Their lives, their businesses weren't destroyed. Their lives have been fine. They're dealing with the flu. And they are. And you talk to anybody over there, the government included. It's incredible. Now, here are some protests. These are tensions at the guess what? The no green passport protest in Milan. Just in case you were still, confused about the fact that the green pass was not just Israel or the multiple occasions. No, it's the green pass is seemingly a common phrase used in all. Why green pass? Anybody explain that? Oh, that's right. Because it will be used for climate change stuff. It will be used for climate lockdowns because that's the next step here. We've already been floating that idea. They pretend like it's organic. Oh, no, we just green pass because it's green, green light go, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's a lie. The same reason that Build Back Better is being used across the world is the same reason that's called the Green Pass. And this is not hard to understand because they also pretend that they're just using Build Back Better because they thought of it themselves. Oh, they're using it too? What a coincidence. I'm not even kidding. Biden literally argued that was just what he used. There was no tie to anything. They're not taking it. Right? And there it is again. You outnumber them 100-1. The last thing I'm arguing is violence. Let them cause violence. The point is, people push past them. And once they lose that control, those people aren't turning around and attacking people. They're getting past and running and they stop attacking. Look at them with their hands in the air. That's a reason for that. We're not being violent. This is how you do this. They're pushing back, guys. The other one was a better example I showed you of how they pushed past them. There was a little bit of conflict because the police were beating people with batons. But then the moment that they really very clearly realized they lost control, the police were just standing there and nobody was attacking them. They were running by them. This is the point. Their kettling tactics and the way they do this, that's what's causing violence. Not that there aren't sometimes people that cause violence on the other side. Right. But the reality is that what they're doing is violent. What we need to do is nonviolent passive resistance and show them that we outnumber them and we will not stand for this. Period. Like, why is it even acceptable or appropriate that you're talking unarmed people are coming forward and they're armed with their batons just whacking away at people? Under what justification? Right? Because of a mandate, because of a narrative, because of what they're telling you you're not allowed to do in a supposedly free country. Because COVID. That's why. Yep. And there you go. There it is. You cannot stop it in that way. They need you to be violent, guys. They can, trust me, it's not going to be easy. There's probably still going to kneecap people on the way by. And I'm not saying you should, if you don't want to be a part of that, then don't be a part of it. But the point is, if you act violently in response to their violence, that is what they use to shut you down. It's not hard to understand. They are priming you for that. They want you to respond. That's what their tactics are meant to do. That's why they put agent provocateurs in there and make them violent. They put the hands in the air is the answer. I shouldn't say it like that because it's not the answer. It might not even work. But the point is, that's what I believe is the right way to do this. Because you can show them, if you've got enough people and everyone's on the same page, that they can't stop you. Make that point. Because you are in the right. They work for you. Just don't forget that. Now, here is how Australian police do to people that just go outside their home in a time when you're supposed to be in a free country. Look at this. That's just crazy to me. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. And then to finish up here, you know, this is literally, this is from the Premier of Victoria. Just so we're clear on that. This is literally from the Premier of Victoria. The headline reads, new freedoms. New freedoms. When 70% first dose target reached. New freedoms. Right. So otherwise, the other way to frame that is, those things we stole from you, we'll dole them back out when you do what you're told. They're not new freedoms. Right. They stole from you when they're not allowed to. I mean, literally speaking, they're restricting you in ways that violate what they're allowed to do. Right. Just like in the United States, these things are inherent. They're God given. They don't get to just turn them off when they say something's happening. Regardless of what the peanut gallery and the sociopathic authoritarians on Twitter will scream about. The reality is, it's inherent, meaning that whether or not they wrote that constitution, they were always there. That's what it meant to be. They were outlining rights that existed. To argue there's some kind of an agreement that we signed and they gave to us is an illusion today. There's people that believe in the constitution that still argue that nonsense. It's inherent. So when they put you in this position, they're not giving you new freedoms. They're giving you parts of what they took from you. This is the problem. And this is the stick in their illusion of a carrot and a stick. It's a stick with a stick is what is ultimately happening here. And they're driving you into their position. They want you in. But freedom, right? Free world, fight for free human rights and freedom and everything we scream at everybody else to invade their countries and steal from them, we take from you. And finally, somebody like Cole Beasley, who stood up and took a stand against this, as he is his legal right, Huffington Post does an entire hit piece. Why? Well, because he dropped a pass. I'm not even joking about that. Let's make fun of this anti-vaxxer because he dropped a pass. And the argument being, well, because he said he wouldn't. I mean, you can see the tweets right here. I don't need a vaccination. I'm not going to catch anything. Ah, I see. So you're taking a low blow at somebody who chose to take a courageous stance at a time when it's dangerous to do so because he dropped a pass. These people are children, and they're the ones pointing at us like we're being malicious. Are there some people on what, quote unquote, our side is doing? Yes, everywhere. People are people. But the reality is, this is a mainstream outlet with a main Lee Moron, perfect name for that person, Lee Moron, is clearly taking a cheap shot at Cole Beasley because it's funny. Because we're going, oh, look, he can't catch anything. Oh, guess you can't. Guess you're right. Ha, ha, ha. That's the gist of the article. And yes, they lost the game. So they're simply taking a cheap shot at this person. I just can't even get past how stupid that is. And this is the mainstream journalism outlets, right? Very, very well done. Oh, and just in case you were confused, here's Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, and de Blasio walking in close, hugging, arms, without masks on. And then, of course, putting them on for the camera. That's great. Wait, Bill about to take it off because, are we done? Not yet. Oh, we're done. Not yet. Okay. We're still faking. Got it. Even she did. Oh, what? Okay. We're still faking. Got it. Keep going. Okay. Got it. I mean, that's what they're doing, right? They all keep reaching and take it off because it was a photo shoot. Somebody filmed it and let this out. I mean, it's just pathetic. But they're like, no, just keep it on until you walk away. We didn't tell you we're filming. Right there, they're standing there without their masks on. This is so incredibly obviously theater, guys. This is so fake. And it's just crazy that people that don't want to see it will refuse. Oh, well, they're vaccinated, though, so it's okay. But the CDC is telling you it doesn't matter. So trust the science, though, right? But we don't care because we want to accept that this is okay because they're on our side. It's just ridiculously, it's schizophrenic, guys. That's what it is. It is schizophrenic. These people have lost their minds in regard to what they pretend they will accept and what is fake news around what they think they want to see. And it drives me up the wall because it's subjective. You can be debunked for your life based on something that somebody says in a fact check that's later proved completely wrong, but never follows up. It's unbelievable where we are right now. But I'll keep fighting for you because that's what I'm here to do. That's my job, is fighting for you. Fighting for the people out there that don't even know that I'm fighting for them. That's my job. So I will keep doing this as long as it takes. I love you all. Thank you for continuing to fight for this because it just has never been more important. Every single day, what you're doing is making a difference. Every single day, we're reaching one more person. And I know you know that. So don't lose faith. Do not lose that passion. Stay the course because we are making a difference and they know it. They know it. And that's why they're coming after us. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.